That is really unexpected. I really wish you'd start warning me.
I'm going to turn the video stream off if you guys are going to watch that instead of doing the radio show.
It is your fault. Quit putting good stuff in it. Don't take this out on us. You put stuff like that in there to get a reaction, so don't be mad when you get it.
That's for the people watching the video stream.
I know, but still, we're watching the video stream.
I didn't have any video of Alfie to put into the open, the video stream.
Uh-huh.
It has a produced open now.
Yes, it does. Very fancy.
And I wanted to put Alfie in Black Thunder. Well, I didn't have any video of Alfie, so I put Toontes the Cat flying Black Thunder.
Flying the hell out of that helicopter.
Yeah. That's the best driving he's ever done.
That's what I wasted most of my... Waste most of the vacation up here at the station jacking around with video stuff.
Right.
And then what happens? I miss our first date back because I'm sick.
Yeah, but we got Toontes.
Oh, there's more than just Toontes. There's, in that video clip, you know, it shows Black Thunder and then a cutaway to the cockpit and back to Black Thunder.
Right.
One time is Toontes. What else did I put in there? Did you ever see Night Shift with Henry Winkler? And
Michael Keaton.
Movie, right?
Yeah.
If I did, it was too long ago to remember. I know the title of the movie.
Henry Winkler plays a... works in the morgue.
Okay, this sounds familiar.
Screw it. I just took a scene out of Night Shift.
Okay.
Where they pull up next to a police car. Michael Keaton looks over at the cop car. His windows are tinted so the cops can't see him.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "We got teenage girls in here. Place is full of bitches." I put that clip in there.
Nice.
And it looks like Keaton's flying Black Thunder.
Yeah. Smoking weed.
See, you like to say that your downtime is unproductive, but clearly it's the opposite.
And then became a game. Who else can we put in the cockpit of Black Thunder? Mm. I can't think of who else I stuck in there.
Oh, even better. You've forgotten your own work.
Didn't you stick Belushi in there? And Aykroyd?
Nah, I was going to. I didn't like the clip. It needs to be straight on. I'm not talking about this.
I thought you were trying to put Belushi and Aykroyd driving Black Thunder through a mall.
I did look at that.
Man, this would be awesome. How can I do that?
Okay. We're a day late, but if you want to talk about it, go ahead with the Cowboys.
Enough!
What?
Enough with the bitching about the play call.
I didn't see it. I don't know. I last couple of days, I just couch, drunk, out, NyQuil, dope.
Sounds fun.
So, I know they're in the playoffs.
They are in the playoffs.
That's Patriots? Who'd they beat this last go-round?
Oh, no. This past week, on Sunday, they beat the Lions.
Okay. No, I didn't see it. I didn't even know.
Now, unfortunately, if you're a myopic, imbecilic Lions fan... Not all of them, just the myopic, imbecilic ones, who think that Jerry Jones somehow put money in the refs' pockets in this game to hand it to the Cowboys. You are so sad and stupid. And it's gone on now for 2 days, and I'm sick of hearing about it. Let me set the stage for you real quick, Russ.
Okay.
With almost 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. Is that the Proclaimers in Black Thunder?
No. That's that scene out of Deuce Bigelow where the chick's yelling at the people in the other car.
Oh.
Ass whore.
Okay. Sorry.
I put her in Black Thunder.
I looked up and saw the black rim glasses. Thought it was 500 miles, guys.
I'm sorry. Set the stage. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm listening now.
Oh, sure you are. 8 minutes, 25 seconds left in the game on Sunday. Okay. The Lions have the ball. It's 3rd and 1. They... throw a pass. Initially, the referees call pass interference on the Cowboys. Then, maybe a minute later, they pick up the flag and say, no foul. It's now 4th down. After that, the Cowboys go on to win the game. Mm-hmm. 6 minutes later, that's when they score the go-ahead touchdown. Now here we are, 2 days later, you still have idiots in the media who are just stirring the pot, getting clicks, getting views, and then butthurt Lions fans saying that because of that one play, again, with over 8 minutes left in the game, their team lost. Saying that it was the referee's fault, the referees lost the game for the Lions.
I was watching the video stream of Tunce's flying helicopter. I have no idea what you said.
I know.
Okay.
Lions fans are mad about a play call.
Was it egregious?
No.
Or was it a gray area?
It's gray. I mean, the reason why I know it's gray is because you have so-called experts in the NFL and outside the NFL saying, yes, there was a penalty. Others saying, no, it was not a pass interference penalty. I do know this. On that one play between the Cowboys defender and the Lions tight end, you had multiple infractions by both players that could have been called. One was, interestingly enough, it was the one that should not have been called. The referees pick it up. They say, no harm, no foul. We will now play football more. And then the Lions fans and media personalities are still stirring the pot, saying that that one play caused their team to lose. Despite the fact, as I said, 8 minutes, 25 seconds when that play happened.
What was the score up until that play?
20-17.
Cowboys were behind?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you're the Lions. You got a 3-point lead with 8 minutes in the game. It's now 4th-and-1. You punt the ball. The Cowboys then take the ball down the field, shove it up your ass, and score the go-ahead touchdown. You then, so in that time, they could have made a play to stop the Cowboys. They didn't do it. Had nothing to do with the referees. Then the Lions get the ball back. Aha.
Well, I do get this. One bad call can screw up a game.
It can. However,
so I get their argument, even though I still have no idea what we're talking about because I'm still watching Tunces on the preview video stream. But go ahead.
I would understand it if it was the last play of the game and a call screwed it up. That, there's certain arguments to be made. But the Lions had plenty of opportunities to win that game after that penalty call or non-call, and they didn't do it.
So obviously all these sports stations that rely on sports.
Yes.
Have to milk this.
Oh, certainly. And it helps because not just locally, but the national shows, like the TV shows, they've picked up on it. And they're saying, this was a terrible thing. This is the reason why the Cowboys are moving on to play the Packers next week.
Well, wait. Hold on. Was there did they go back and review the call?
That is the other argument that is now being brought up.
Oh, geez. Did they or not?
No, they can't. It's a judgment call. They do not have replay for a penalty call.
Is there a reason for that?
Because if you go back and review every penalty call, the game would take a
week. Well, you give each side maybe one per quarter.
And that, right, what you just said is something that's another talking point. Because of this situation, they're now thinking the NFL should implement that policy.
Okay. Well, at least I understand the enough that you started all this with.
Yep.
So the players and the coaches can be interviewed. Can the referees not be interviewed by the media? Is that
no? Actually, the lead referee in the game, Pete Morelli, he was out. He talked to a reporter briefly after the game. It's not common; they usually don't do it. He made like a quick comment, and then that was it.
Okay, hold on. Yes, Jason.
Hey, Russ. I was wondering if you sullied Jesus' birthday this year or not.
If I did what?
If you ruined Jesus' birthday.
By doing what?
By touching yourself.
Oh, yes.
You know, he's just sitting there looking down at you.
I don't care. I'm sure he checks on me more than just one day a year.
Mm-hmm. And I really thought about it myself, but I couldn't keep from doing it either.
Ollie, let me see how long, if I beat you or not. What time did you make it till?
3 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't make it till 10 that morning.
Oh, damn.
I know. I try and, like, wait till noon. I don't know why. It's kind of like technically when the Christmas music stops. That's the time it's okay to go look at porn.
Yeah, he's probably eating Christmas lunch. Why?
Leave me alone.
It's the turning of the day.
Yeah.
And the bad thing about it is I'm thinking about Chloe while I'm looking at porn.
Yeah, that's
because I know Chloe tries to abstain on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you both talked about this last year, and then you both ended up thinking about each other. And now you've got a new Christmas tradition. You spank it. You try to wait till noon. Whether you do or you're not, really inconsequential, but you still end up thinking about Chloe.
And it makes no difference what time you finally give in. It's still Jesus' birthday. You couldn't wait till the very end of the day?
No.
Or the 26th?
Do you want me to make you feel a little bit better about it?
If you think it's going to work.
It's worth a shot. Most historians, including biblical scholars, agree that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. And more than likely, his birthday was sometime in the spring. They just moved it around for, you know, marketing sake and convenience.
At what point in time in history did they move it around to the 25th?
Alfie, do you know that part?
I think maybe...
You're the calendar expert.
3rd or 4th century. It was part of the whole Council of Nicaea or whatever it's called.
Oh, that they decided they were going to, you know, decide certain things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
Well, regardless, there's still one day set aside.
There is. It's the recognized.
And chances are I'm going to hit it anyway.
Yeah. It's
doesn't matter what day it falls on.
Mm-mm.
There are very few days, unless I'm sick, that I don't get up and go enjoy some stuff. Because I know that there is a porn site that I've missed somewhere, and I will not rest until I find it.
and at a certain point, even though God, Jesus, might be disappointed in you for that, they also have to admire it a little bit.
I tried.
They have to say, you know what? That kid's got gumption. He knows we're watching.
And he does it anyway.
Yeah.
It's like my beagle. They'll dig through the trash even if I'm standing there.
Just daring you to stop him. Her.
And now I got listeners calling to check. Hey, how long did you wait before you beat it on Christmas Day? And we didn't even talk about it this year.
No, that guy's...
He's referring back to 2013.
Yeah, and he clearly is. He's right there with you and Chloe as far as trying to, but... not living up to not touching.
Yeah, and on the emails, I didn't get it at first. I was like, did you make it? Got the emails on Christmas Day. I was like, make what?
I didn't go anywhere.
And they explained, oh.
Oh, I never make it. I'm sure it's got to be harder with a house full of people. My house is quiet. But if they're out there, if I had family, it'd finally get to a point of, hey, beating off here.
There's just no shame.
Just turn up the TV really loud. Damn, that's an action flick.
I can't get into this porn if you keep making noise. Okay. So, controversy, Cowboys. Alfie, what do you got on hold?
A lot of those are butthurt Lions fans, I guess.
Ooh, my favorite.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Colton.
One more time?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, what's up?
All right, then.
Oh, really?
Go ahead, Gene. By the way, Colton was the first call of the year. Nice going, Colton. Blew it for everybody. Gene? Number two is out.
Oh, my God. Lions fans, come on. Be better than your team.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Russ. Something Van didn't hit on, that officiating crew for Sunday's game, they had never worked with each other before, and I don't know about them, but, you know, you go into a new job, you got a little bit of uncertainty about your coworkers, a little apprehensiveness amongst yourself. Just something to throw out there and think about.
So you think that because they never worked together before, they were worse?
Do you think there's some type of synchronicity that goes along with refs to where if they work together a lot, they all perform better?
Well, normally, yes, because one judge can...
That's going to take too long for him. Do most officials work together a lot?
They do. During the regular season, you have different crews. They are headed up by the same guy that wears the white hat every week, and everyone has their set positions on the field. When the playoffs roll around, the NFL gets what they consider the all-star referees. They get who they consider to be the best side judge, best back judge, best umpire, the best lead referee, the best guy that holds the stinking first down chain, probably.
So they keep stats on the officials as well?
Oh, NFL keeps stats on everything, yes.
Well, that butts his argument then.
Yeah, you basically in the playoffs, you have all-star referees, all supposedly the best at their jobs.
Well, there's got to be a reason, though, the rest of the season that all the officials work together on a regular basis. They must see some benefit in that.
Probably convenience.
Okay. I don't really care.
Yeah. But the NFL sees it as, hey, we let's get the best of the best that's on the field for the playoffs, top to bottom, players and, you know, guys that throw the flags. The sad thing is you've got...
Okay, I'm going to ask. I know you've already explained it to me.
Sure.
What was the call?
They initially called pass interference on Dallas. Then they did what's called picked up the flag and said, no flag at all. No foul.
Okay. Was this after a conference?
Yes. They threw the flag initially, said there's a penalty. Then they conferenced. Another guy said, no, there's not. And then they said, okay, there's not. Now let's go play some more football.
And obviously on television, they showed the play again and again and again.
Yes.
Was there pass interference?
On the offense, yes. But that wasn't called. It wasn't defensive pass interference. They could have called defensive holding. That would have been legitimate.
You know, I have no. Yeah. Hold on. What?
That's why I said earlier, there were multiple fouls that could have been called on either player.
Okay. Did the Cowboys, who was the call against?
Initially Dallas.
I am not.
And then they took it back.
Okay. Who had the ball at the time?
Detroit.
Okay. Did Dallas interfere with the pass?
No.
Okay. Well, that's all I needed to know.
Yeah, but he did kind of hold the guy a little bit.
Well, was it?
But then also,
was it a good or a bad call?
The non-call was actually it was the right call at the time. However, there were other calls that could have been made that also would have been correct. Which therein lies the problem of an NFL game.
You're talking about other calls against Dallas. If they hadn't gotten them on the pass interference or two or three others, they probably could have nailed them on.
Yes.
For that one call.
Yes. As well.
All right, so Dallas shouldn't have been given the ball.
Hang on. There are also two penalties that could have been called on the offensive player, the Detroit guy. He grabbed our guy's face mask. That could have been a face mask. It could have been illegal hands to the face. He also pushed off the guy, which also could have been offensive pass interference. That's why I tried to limit it earlier when I said there were multiple fouls on both guys that could have been called that were not.
Were there any fouls that potentially could have been worse than the others?
Most of those against Dallas would have resulted in a automatic first down.
No, the same penalty. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, very exciting. Sorry, I was sick yesterday. And obviously, this is still in the news.
It won't go away.
If you're twisted about it, Dan.
It's stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Again, this play happened with more than 8 minutes left in the game. Detroit had plenty of opportunity to still win the game. Also, when this penalty happened, they were still ahead by three. But they couldn't stop the Cowboys. They couldn't stop full choke Romo from scoring a go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. That is why you're mad, Detroit fans. You're mad because you got beat.
Did Romo suck?
No, he was great.
Oh.
That's also why they were mad. Also on that same play, their quarterback threw a bad pass. He threw it right into the defender's back. If he throws where the ball should have been, his guy might have caught it and ran for a touchdown.
So it's just like he wanted to peg somebody?
That whole play, yeah.
Say, man, he hit me with that ball.
Yes.
Don't I get to walk?
Oh, no.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
3:36, first check on traffic. Over to MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you. Russ, Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Let's get started off in Dallas, west on I-30. We're at Riverfront, got an accident there. It's blocking the two right lanes. Traffic is backed up back from 75. In Frisco, northbound on the tollway, right at Main Street. Road construction there has traffic completely stopped back from Stonebrook Parkway. It's about a half hour delay through it. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Spur 280, got an accident there. That one has you backed up back from 121. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Clear skies tonight, 29 for the low. Then tomorrow, sunny and windy. A high of just 36. Right now, it's 58 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
We'll be right back. Everybody is being that petty.
Oh, they have been since the building opened up.
Did Irving ever complain about that?
Nah, Irving really didn't seem to care all that much.
I think I've heard the CBS announcers before on the television broadcast of in Arlington, Texas.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times.
But Arlington is pissed off. The city, the mayor, whomever. They're pissed off because the networks don't mention that the stadium is actually in Arlington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is not uncommon for, especially at the start of a game, they'll be like, welcome to this game here, and, you know, at AT&T Stadium. They might say Dallas. They might say outside Dallas. They That's the one that really pisses off the Arlingtonians.
Yeah. What do they care?
They want the credit. They basically
You're already getting the credit. Go back and look at the tax base of what you get from Jerry Jones every year with the stadium being in Arlington.
And they also see it as, we helped build that son of a bitch. We'd like some credit, please. I help
You're
pay
getting
for
credit
it.
On the tax rolls. You know, just because you get a mention on CBS or whoever happens to be carrying the game doesn't mean that, okay, now we're square.
That's how people see it, though. They want the recognition publicly. They want people to recognize that the stadium is not in Dallas. It's in Arlington.
And that's going to do what?
It's going to make him feel good.
You think if I'm who they play this past week, Detroit?
Yes.
Think if I'm watching in Detroit, I give a rat's ass where my team got beat?
You just might.
Because of a bad call? I like getting in on this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fun, man. Because you're gonna.
I never heard Irving bitch about it.
I'm with you.
How long was it in Irving?
Oh, what, 30-something years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't ever remember Irving complaining about it. And maybe partly because the portion of Irving where Texas Stadium was so close to Dallas anyway, they were like, whatever.
We're getting the money. I don't care if they say it's in Irvine.
And some people even said that, I'm sure.
Line one, Alfie?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Dandy.
Thanks for taking my call.
Just it was a pleasure. What do you want, Alfie?
He called to call Dan a homer.
Oh, no, not the H word.
What's a homer?
That is a phrase that sports fans will try to use against I use this term loosely, broadcaster, for showing unabashed bias towards their home team. In other words, not being objectionable.
I know. He's... I don't want any phone calls. He's making fun of Club. Well, first of all, no, you're not. When the Cowboys suck, you say they suck.
Absolutely.
When anybody sucks, we say they suck. Well, we suck. We say we suck.
Mm-hmm. When we're the ultimate homers.
Yeah, if anybody's going to be on our side, you'd think it'd be us. Yeah. Most of the time, we don't even like listening to the show.
Mm-mm. No, but that word's supposed to be some sort of, you know, bad word to be referred to in certain circles. And first of all, I've never hidden the fact that I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. Now,
but you can also be objectionable.
I can be. I'm capable of it. When they suck, as Russ just said, they suck. And I even had Tara, my wife, even asked me. She said, if the tables had been reversed on this play on Sunday.
I was going to bring that up earlier, and I forgot.
She said,
I didn't really care.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you.
Well, go ahead.
She said, would you feel the same way that you do? And I said, first of all, I'd obviously be a little more upset about it because my team lost. But ultimately, I am a reasonable man. I live with logic. I can look at something and say, you know what?
We still had 8 minutes. We could have won that game had it gone the other direction.
Yep.
I still think you would have been pissed off.
I might have been pissed off at that play, but I still would know that my team still had the opportunity to win the game. At the time, my team still had a 3-point lead. I know, and this is one of my favorite things to bring up, that on that next play, it was 4th-and-1. Detroit could have gone for it. And if they make the first down, maybe they go on to score a clinching touchdown or a field goal, something that knocks Dallas out. Instead, they didn't do it. Their coach pussed out on national TV, punted the ball. His idiot punter shanked it. It went 10 yards. The Cowboys get the ball. Slowly and methodically drive it down the field. By the way, face their own 4th down, 4th-and-6. almost every coach would tell you, you punt the ball, play defense, and you get the ball back and try to win again. No, Jason Garrett didn't do that. His nuts grew, expanded on national television, and he went for it. The Cowboys got the first down, then scored a touchdown to win the game. The refs didn't lose the game for the Lions. The Cowboys took it. Quit your bitching. Oh, and by the way, Jerry Jones did not pay off the refs. If he was going to pay off the refs, he wouldn't.
Where did that theory come from?
Idiot fans.
Where did they play? Did they play in Arlington?
The Cowboys do, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Tarrant Cowboys? Does that make anybody feel better? It was a home game.
Yeah, it was a home game. And so, yeah, people say, Jerry Jones is paying the refs. Really? The man has won, up before Sunday, had won one playoff game in almost 20 years. Had not won a Super Bowl.
Why wouldn't he have picked another year to pay off the refs?
Exactly. You think he's going to wait for this one game? Oh, now's the time I'm going to slip him some cash.
Well, the team is playing better. You know, the years we were sucking bad, I couldn't afford to pay off the refs.
It's just, and these are grown people saying these things and believing it, and it's so pathetic.
As a result, the Lions are out of the playoffs.
They are.
Oh, how very sad. Over a bad call. I don't even know what time the game was Sunday. I could try to care less. I don't think I can.
I don't really think you could. It was a hell of a game to watch, though. You had to really, as a Cowboys fan, you had to really think, okay, because they're down 14 at the end of the first quarter.
Damn.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad early.
And then they came back.
Our team scored 17 points in the second half. Their team scored 3.
Is there audio you want to play?
Well, there's some from Jason Garrett after the game. Cut number one. The reporters asked Coach Garrett, how did you feel when you were losing at halftime?
Well, they're a good football team. We knew the challenge they were going to present. Done an excellent job against the run all year long. We knew that was going to be hard.
Hey, this audio is cleaner. Where'd you get this?
Same source. I don't know if maybe someone finally told someone in the Cowboys media department to clean it up a little bit.
But you pull it off the Cowboys site?
Yeah.
Well, they're a good football team. We knew the challenge they were going to present. Done an excellent job against the run all year long. We knew that was going to be hard. They got a great front. They can pressure the quarterback. They brought different kinds of pressure. And then they got playmakers on offense. Quarterback can throw the ball all over the place. The receiver's outstanding. The other receiver's outstanding. And they're just a good football team. So we understood the challenges that we had. We just had to settle down and play. And I thought at halftime the biggest message was just...
Okay, I remember now.
Trying to get back in that coach's groove.
Well, I was trying to think, all right, what was the question? Because very seldom do I pay attention. I thought, okay, I'll be able to figure it out by this clip. No, not up until 26 seconds in.
There you go.
Did it finally dawn on me? Oh, how did you feel at halftime?
That we had, we just had to settle down and play. And I thought at halftime the biggest message was just to go out and play. Put a smile on your face and let's go play ball where we're capable of playing. Do your job, but play with a spirit, play with a mentality, play with a demeanor, you know, that we played with all year long. I thought our guys did that.
That was his way of coming back and winning? All right, you go out there and you put on a happy face. Even if I got to glue one to your face, you're going out there with a smile.
They're all
going
to go out there looking like Jack Nicholson's version of the Joker.
Smiles, everybody.
Smiles, everyone. All of a sudden, it's the opening of Fantasy Island. Smiles.
They come out of the locker room at the half.
Why so serious?
Coach Garrett's wearing a white suit.
Why? Yeah, there are too many cross references there.
I know.
But I don't think I've ever heard of a grown man in any industry. Well, we knew he was going to have to just put on that happy face and go out there and continue with the game. Cannot be sad.
I want to go ahead and say that's probably a category on Jeopardy, things that Landry never said.
Always have a happy face.
Did you see Coach Landry just then? That was his smile.
Won't you go out there and you be fabulous?
What, Coach?
Fabulous.
What?
He tell us to go out there and be fabulous.
That's probably the sign that's over the locker room as they leave to go out in the field. All the players touch it. Be fabulous today.
I think something happened to Coach Garrett over the holidays. Did he come out and I didn't know about it?
I think he got tangled up in a bag of ribbon and just didn't come out the same.
Why are the players skipping?
They're all holding hands. Sharing feelings.
I sure hope that's a milk mustache.
Well, they have said, all the way up to Jerry Jones, never seen a team this together. That's one way you build some chemistry.
Is there another cut?
There is. Coach Garrett didn't stop there. He was also asked, what kind of adjustments did you make at halftime?
Oh, I think you're always trying to make adjustments. You're always trying to find things, you know, in a ball game, what they're doing. So the communication is constant. It's within series, it's between series, and certainly at halftime. And they did a good job against us early on.
Between what? Did it say series?
Yes, series.
Oh, okay.
Series and certainly at halftime. And they did a good job against us early on. They made stops. They got off the field defensively. We weren't sustaining drives. You know, they were making negative plays both in the run game. They were sacking the quarterback. But we just had to bang away. And, you know, I thought Tony just did a fantastic job. You know, I've heard me say this a lot. He's about as physically and mentally tough a guy as I've been around. And he demonstrated that today.
And he's fabulous.
He is. He was fabulous. Then also, this is the last one from Coach Garrett. He was asked, was it a hard choice to go for it on 4th and 6?
Well, it's certainly a consideration to do the other thing, and you have to work it all out. But you know, what kept going through my mind was, you know, if you get a chance to go play at the Masters, you don't lay up. You go after it a little bit. And, again, a lot of confidence in the guys to execute it. They play football better than I swing a golf club. And so a lot of confidence in them to get that done. They did a hell of a job.
Always situations where there is something that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do is always the right thing. Sometimes it's the other thing that you thought about doing that ends up being what you should have chosen as you play the football game. Then that's what I hate about hindsight. Oh. You can never put it in front of you. Why can't foresight be 2020?
With a clone. I can't spit up coffee. That'll burn.
Oh, that burns like hell.
Did I even play the whole clip?
I think so.
I don't even know what it was.
It was cut 3. Was it a hard choice to go on 4th and 6, to go for it?
I don't remember what he said now.
He said he weighed his options, and he said he was really proud of the guys for executing the play. They weighed the options, decided they talked it over and thought about it, and said, we decided let's go for it.
And I don't know if it was a hard choice or not. But it obviously was the right one.
Yes.
A lot of times I make a choice and then I find out later I chose poorly. This was not one.
No, it was not.
I never know that I've chosen poorly until the play has been executed in the football. And that's where that stupid phrase comes from, the hindsight.
Being 2020.
Yes. The stupid phrase.
Okay. We got about a minute or so, Chloe?
Yes.
What are these other clips? Something to do with the NFL?
There's one more. This one was from Tony Romo after the game with, I think he was talking to Aaron Andrews here, cut number 4.
That was the best defense we played all year by far, and I think, you know, they deserve a lot of credit. They played awesome today, and you know, you just have to stay in the moment and understand the game. You know, it doesn't end after the first quarter or the second quarter. There's a long way to go, and it wasn't going well. You just have to keep calm, and you know, I've played enough games to understand that. Maybe I didn't do that as well when I was younger, but I think just poise throughout the game. Our team did a great job of that.
See, that's one of those questions where you just really can't win. I'm sure nobody thought really about what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, hey, they played a really good game. They're a great team. Which means we're even better because we beat their asses. All right, so you just do you sound egotistical or do you say, hey, we just got lucky or they were off, they sucked? Which one's more offensive? You understand?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. The good thing is I don't think most football players see it as an offense to say, hey, that team over there is a great team, but we got it done today. I don't think they see it as the other team saying, you're great, but we still beat you. They're
a great, great team. So what you're saying is you're even better.
Yes. But all the
or if you want to be a dick about it, you just say, hey, we played like today. I don't know how we won the game.
And honestly, that would have been pretty honest. Romo could have said that and said, you know what? For the first 2.5 quarters, we were terrible.
Yeah, they got beat by a really sucky team. I was embarrassed to be out there.
I mean, Cowboys only really played decent football for a quarter and a half. It just happened to be their quarter and a half where they sucked.
Had it not been for that bad call near the end.
Robert gets on national TV and says, I'd like to thank the referees for this one. Really did a big job for us. Couldn't have done it without them.
Referees are dancing around going, I got my money. Dance around like they got a payday loan. Because people think that Jones paid them off.
That is legitimately, people think that.
We need a break here. Okay. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
401. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over to MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is an Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. A whole lot going on. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W, right at Spur 280. Got an accident there. That one has you backed up back from Northeast 28th Street. Moving to Grand Prairie, west on I-20. Right at Beltline Road. Got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic's jacked up back from Duncanville Road. In Frisco, northbound on the tollway, right at Main Street. Still got the construction work that has traffic completely stopped back from Stonebrook Parkway. About a half hour delay through it. And finally, in Dallas, west on I-30, right at Riverfront. That earlier road work there has been cleared out. Traffic still backed up back from 75. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Clear skies this evening, 29 for the low. Sunny and windy tomorrow, 36 for the high. Right now, 58 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Anything of, can we start this break over?
Your reset button.
Anything happen to anybody over the holidays?
I can't remember anything that happened outside of the station. And nothing really happened at the station. Well, what did I do?
I know I came up and jacked around with video for the production elements for the video stream. It was only a few days that I didn't come up here. But I did nothing. Treated myself one night. I ordered pizza.
One night. Whoo, slow down there.
Then another night, ordered Chinese food. I'm a rock star. And I don't know why, but the delivery drivers that I always end up getting now are profoundly retarded.
How so?
One of them calls me on the phone.
Hey, I'm outside.
Is this Al-Qaeda? When you're outside my development or outside my house?
Outside the house.
Okay, I'll come outside.
The door won't open.
He meant the gate.
Gotcha.
I wasn't even going to go that route with him, making him say gate. But I'll come outside.
The door's not coming open.
I'm going to come outside.
And the door?
I'll open it when I get out there.
Oh, my God. quit obsessing over it.
I like the time that you let me hear whenever you called in to order your food. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. You have this extreme patience. Where did it come from at that time? Wow.
Was he ordering pizza or the Chinese food?
Chinese.
Makes sense.
And saying his address? Mm-mm. No, it just was not happening.
I almost reenacted it for everybody. I might as well just go ahead and give out the address.
Yeah, that's not good.
Who was the other one? Chinese food. Phone rings.
I'm outside.
So I walk out into the motor court,
mm-hmm.
open the car door, press the button that opens the gate. Right as I'm leaning into the car.
Hello?
I get back out of the car. Yeah?
You order food?
Yeah. I lean back into the car to hit the thing.
Hello?
She thinks you're about to drive away.
I lean back out. Yes?
You order food? I'm going to open the gate.
I swear to Jesus. I lean back in the car.
Hello?
Oh, my God.
Require immediate attention.
And what? I could have gone ahead and just ignored him and mashed the button to open the gate.
Right.
But I decided to walk all the way out to the gate. I went, do you see these great big doors? Until you shut up, I can't open them. Now I'm going to walk back to the car. Don't call at me again.
Walk a few steps, but look back.
Hello?
Don't you do it.
I was even leaning into the passenger side. It's not like I was just going to get in and drive off.
Well, how did she know? She probably...
What makes you think it was a she?
I thought I heard you say she. Or maybe it was just the voice that you used.
This one?
Yeah, that's super high. Or he. Perhaps the delivery person thought you... They see the house and think, well, how do I know which side he drives on? He may have a fancy British car.
And there was one other time. They called and they said, okay, I'm in your development. But I forget which way to turn. I went, well, since I don't know which entry you came in, uh-huh. I can't help you.
Right.
You got the address. Are you in front of my house? I don't think so. Call me when you're in front of my house. 5 minutes goes by. And it's maybe a minute and a half from one of the entry points to my house.
Uh-huh.
So obviously they're lost. I get my handheld spotlight. I go out and stand by my mailbox.
That's smart.
You put a searchlight.
Yeah, this is like one of those 5 million candle power things.
So it looks like there's a club opening in front of your house?
And I see a car at the end of the street, and I know it's them because they start, stop, start, stop. So I hit them with a spotlight. They still start, stop, start, stop. They get out, and they go check a mailbox. And I can see all this because I've got the spotlight on them. And they're probably, I don't know, quarter mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Start, stop. Finally get up to my house. Is this one main street? I went, Chinese food? Yeah, this one main street. Well, I wasn't really sure. Did the spotlight help? The what? Get out.
As far as you'd pull him out of the car and start beating him. Perhaps there is, you could, in the country, what they'll do is, to make it easier for people to find their house, they'll put some sort of marker at the end of the driveway next to the mailboxes. Something that stands out. Be like, hey, when you see a driveway with a huge purple nut in front of it, that's the house.
Or some other way that I've thought about marking my house is maybe putting my address on the mailbox. It's probably about 2 feet wide. I thought about doing that. Do you think that would help?
Has it so far?
No, and that's what I've got. It's about 2 feet wide.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd say try that and then try to maybe a flag, the searchlight thing. I like
search
that.
Searchlight didn't help.
But maybe they said a bad person. I mean, I think for most people they would see it as, okay, a bat light. A bat light, but instead of a bat symbol, it has a little Chinese food box.
And the Chinese place is the only one I ever use, so why these people started getting confused, I don't know. The pizza place. It was like,
the door's not open.
I'm going to come outside.
The door?
I'm going to come outside the door.
How do I get in?
Well, I'll come out and Shut up. So that was it. I have nothing else. For the holidays.
I don't know how it is, how it's like, I live in a third-story apartment. I still wonder how it is I even get pizza or any food delivered. Especially with a gate. It's like, oh, what's the gate? How do you find anyone? It's building 8. I can't see any building numbers. I'll come outside.
Normally what I try and do, and I very seldom order food to be delivered, is I'll watch the neighborhood and see what roof flags I see a lot of. If I see, you know, Mr. Jim's or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they know that neighborhood because they're in here a lot. I'll call them. Well, I made a mistake, and I didn't call Mr. Jim's or whoever.
Yeah.
I called somebody that can't find houses, even with a spotlight.
Here's the other problem. Is your development on, like, Google Maps, Apple Maps?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if perhaps because it's...
No, Google updates their maps once a year, something like that.
Okay.
Well, especially in an area where there's a lot of construction going on, they update those a little more frequently than country areas.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure how it worked with, you know, gated developments, if they're always able to get in and do their little...
Well, satellite.
Well, yeah.
There's not always a street view, but there's always a satellite.
Yeah.
Google don't care.
Google don't care about...
privacy.
Yes, and no-fly zones.
Okay.
I went to Michigan for the first time over the holidays. Yeah.
Whew. Freeze?
Actually, the weather was pretty much the same as it was here. I went, because we were going to the Detroit area, I made sure to buy hats, gloves, take a big coat, think I'm going to need all this, get there. It's the same weather as here. Didn't need any of that. But I did learn that you can buy liquor at CVS.
Yeah, man.
That was a glorious day.
Oh, damn.
I know. I was
did
in
you
a
know
place.
The liquor stores were closed on New Year's Day?
They were?
Yeah.
Yes.
What the f*** is that about? What a holiday?
It is, though. It shouldn't be a liquor holiday.
No.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a religious holiday. I know that.
Yes. Yeah, they're closed. That's actually one of the things this station asked us to do, some sort of like thing for New Year's and Christmas. That's one of the things I put out. Make sure to be safe. And remember, the stores are not open on New Year's Day and Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Christmas, I got.
Yeah. In Michigan, I went into a CVS to buy nasal decongestant. I left with a full handle of whiskey. Merry Christmas to me.
Honey, did you get the drugs?
Nope. And that honestly was the greatest, the best part about it. Pharmacy, closed. I couldn't get anything to make meth with, but I could sure as hell buy a bottle of liquor.
At a drug store?
Yeah. Christmas Day, they're open. Pharmacy, closed. Liquor store, have at it. All the gift boxes are on sale. It was glorious.
That's warming.
I know.
To be that convenient.
To be able to buy liquor... At some place that is not a...
See my arm?
You got goosebumps.
Yeah.
My nipples are hard. just reliving it.
Hey, I just turned the radio on. I wonder what they're talking about. Russ got goosebumps. Dan's nipples are hard. This must be something monumental.
Yeah.
What's that guy freaking out in the middle of CPS?
Oh, my God, whiskey. And you had no clue until you went in.
I
mean, it's not like, why'd you go to Michigan?
Tara's family. That's where they're all from. Both her mom and dad's side of the family.
Okay. And nobody had ever happened to mention, hey, we got alcohol at CVS.
No, no one mentioned it. The reason we stopped was I wanted to stop at a CVS so I could try to get some kind of decongestant because I was deaf for pretty much the entire holidays with congestion. I go in. And I'm so bummed because the pharmacy is closed. I turn around, and Tara's standing there holding a bottle of whiskey. Whoa. And I've never been so happy.
You can't bring that in here. Now they sell it here. This is no time to get you.
Don't mess with me. It's Christmas.
I think had I actually seen that, I'd just passed the out.
I was pretty close.
Man, this is better than that whole section as seen on TV. Do they have more than just that one bottle?
It really was. It was one of those, the tiniest thing that made me so happy. But apparently in Michigan, they had just, I guess in the past couple of years, they changed the laws, their blue laws, their liquor laws, because theirs used to be similar to ours. They just loosened it to where you can actually buy liquor on a holy day, and the liquor doesn't only have to be sold in a liquor store.
Get out.
There's also an overall lack of zoning in different areas. We went through some part of Detroit. I swear to God, I had to re-verify it when we drove back past it 2 days later. On the side of a highway, I saw a little Irish bar. And next to the Irish bar was a police station. Because I looked in the parking lot of the Irish bar. That looks like a cool spot. And I see a squad car sitting in the parking lot. And I thought, wow, Detroit really doesn't try to hide anything. And then I noticed it's next to a damn substation.
My guess is that police station owns that pub.
That's kind of my thinking. Pretty sure that's like a retired sergeant's place.
Mm-hmm. I just mean, you know, you have, it's like, we don't really have the money to buy radar and set up speed traps. Let's open up a pub and we'll just catch them coming up.
Yeah.
We don't even need the squad car.
I mean, between that, the liquor, pretty much anywhere you want it, including CVS, and then the strip club next to a White Castle.
And the CVS, you could buy alcohol on a Sunday.
I assume on a Sunday. I think they you still. I know. You still had to wait until noon, but you could buy liquor on Sundays. I know you can't even wrap your brain around that. It seems so.
I can't, because here our liquor laws throughout the entire state are so strict, mm-hmm. And they, you know, obviously the zoning is up to, I guess,
cities and things.
Each municipality. It's like, you can't have this, but I can drive another 10 feet
mm-hmm.
once I get out of my city, because I have to drive to the colony.
Oh, yeah, for your liquor stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a gas station off 121 to where half of it's on one side, one it's on the other, and there's a line going down through the middle. Swear to God, a line going right through the middle of the store to where on one side they can sell beer, the other side they can't.
No, I
swear to God.
So what happens if you walk over the line? You get tackled?
That's what I was wondering. I was like, I'm over here.
SWAT team tackles you.
I can buy alcohol. I can't. Yeah. I can't.
I'm over here buying alcohol.
Well, I can't. Okay. Alfie, what about you?
You know, actually, I heard Alfie today. This was right before the show. Ask Chloe for permission to steal something.
What?
Yeah. I have no idea what they were talking about, but I was walking in. I forgot to do what. And as I was walking back out, I stopped and went, did you just ask for permission to steal something?
I wasn't asking for permission to steal something. I was seeing if Chloe had something, and if he didn't, then I was just going to steal it from someone.
All right. Well, the way it sounded like you were asking for permission to go steal something.
No, I mean, first of all, I don't steal anything from you guys because that's unethical. But
so no cannibalization. That's,
no,
that's
no.
Very. Thank you.
It's important to have some standards.
But yeah, I'll try and get something through legal means, and if I can't, then I'll take care of it.
Dan, you know how the company went to every occupied cubicle and dropped off a Christmas present?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I got one of those.
Alpha, you want to tell him what you did?
Well, I don't want everyone knowing my scam.
So, you know how there are probably 15, 20 empty cubicles around the third floor?
Yeah.
Alfie set up, I don't know, it was like, was it 8, 10 cubicles? Something like that?
Yeah.
And made it look like somebody was actually working at that cubicle, so he got all those free presents.
No.
Really?
I put up.
Here's your bottle.
Thank you.
You know how they have those nameplates that they print out and put on everyone's doors
yeah.
or cubicle? I printed out ones for people who used to work here.
And they still put gifts down?
Yeah, it was great.
And, oh, my God. You know, I was wondering why some of those spots that seemed vacated all of a sudden seemed dressed up. I just assumed that. Maybe at the first of the year, the company was actually hiring some people for a change.
Nope. Alfie was just... And really, it's genius. I just...
I don't know whether to be proud or not.
I'm sharing with you guys. It's all.
But well, it was mostly vodka and cookies.
Exactly. I've got it all stashed, so.
So you have enough vodka and cookies for like 10 people?
Not 10, maybe.
And who was it stole my cookies?
That was Chloe.
It wasn't me. I don't remember there seeing a name with your a bag with your name on it.
Well, the promotions chick. What?
Huh? There was a couple of bags.
One of the promotions chicks stopped me in the hall. She said, I left a tin of cookies in front of your office. Got your name on it. I went, okay, thanks. Because I'm on the low-carb thing, I'm not going to eat them, but I just went looking for them, and they were already gone. Somebody already stole them before I could even get to my office.
I don't know. I didn't take the cookies. I had Dan's delicious cookies that him and his wife made, and then those cookies from the promotion chick, and that's all I had. A tin and a bag.
Alfie, did you take Russ's cookies?
I didn't, but I do remember seeing them on Chloe's desk. I'm not saying Chloe ate them, but...
That's just the last place they were seen.
Exactly.
Chloe?
Unless the two bags were tied together. But I remember seeing...
I'm going to ask you again. You steal my damn cookies?
I didn't steal your cookies. And if I did, I didn't mean to. Because it was one bag.
You know, Chloe, I've heard that excuse time and time again on the first 48. I shot him, but I didn't mean to kill him. I took the cookies, but I didn't mean to steal them.
Yeah, they must have been attached to the... They must have been tied together.
Yeah, they were attached to your fingers.
No, it's... What, more,
hey!
What?
You steal my damn cookies.
I didn't steal your cookies.
Okay. What is... Quit it, Huffy. Nobody knows what you're laughing at. Line three?
Yes.
Yes, Scott.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, then. We'll start news.
Man, we're off to just a killer year on the phones.
Thank you now. I'll hang up and listen. Why does a whiskey taste funny? I know it's not because it's set for 2 weeks.
No, it should be fine. You got it out of a fresh bottle and everything.
It's not the cork.
No.
Cork broke again.
You mean after this last time?
Yes.
Yeah.
After it was in the shop.
I had to go back into the shop? Oh, no.
Can you go on to eBay and buy another cork?
Yeah, Alfie's on that right now. So he was mad because you have to buy the whole bottle.
People are charging a lot for it, too.
Well, I don't want the whiskey.
No. The whiskey's not in it. Empty bottle. Just vintage bottle collectors. They come with the same cork. $30 at least, plus $10 shipping and handling.
I mean, we can get away from the cork. It just seems to be like a part of the show.
No, we need the cork.
Yeah.
And honestly, with as much money as we've saved over the years, just having to buy whiskey, yeah, buy a couple bottles. We all could buy one. We'll all pitch in.
Alfie, what did the guy on line 3 want?
He was saying thank you for the Christmas special.
Oh. Sure.
Oh, there was something that I wasn't initially aware of. I was checking Facebook on, I think it was Christmas Eve, and there were a few people posting something about you and Merle Haggard.
Oh, yeah. How did I forget that?
Yeah.
Would you care to...
I might have got drunk and sung Merle Haggard.
Might have, huh?
During one of the... Let me know what time is it. Okay, I got time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up here during vacation. I forget which day it was. Obviously, it was after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the special had already run.
Uh-huh.
So Best Of is running. And it's close to 5:30, and Chloe says, hey, Gina, chick that cleans my house.
Yep.
She couldn't get hold of me, so she called Chloe. The alarm on the house went off, and I can't get it to shut off, and the Frisco police are already here. I went, all right. I came into the studio. I told Alfie, I went, let's just do this traffic. We'll do this part live. I'll intro you live. And I'll also tell Frisco PD that Gina's okay, let her go. So I didn't have to call him. I just used the station as like a PA. Okay. And then...
Yeah, you could have just called them.
Yeah, but...
But you figure, why be so personal?
My phone was in my office on the other side of the building. And the studio was right here.
Oh.
So that was around 5:33. They let her go. Then cool. And then we just stayed on live until like 7:20.
Oh, my God.
Chloe, Alfie, and me. No show prep, nothing. I have no idea what we talked about.
Until?
As you say, I know Merle was involved somehow. And like you said, you got drunk and sang.
At a certain point, somebody called and went, hey, sing Merle Haggard. Dan and Kenzie always say, you sing it during breaks, during the bumpers. Mm-hmm. Sing it. That will not play. No. And then people start calling, I'll donate to the foundation. Mm-hmm. And then a drunken Ben Garrison calls.
Oh, boy.
I got $1,000 for you to do whatever it is that they want you to do.
No lie. That was exactly, he didn't know what it was.
He's really in the mood to give somebody $1,000.
And I knew Ben was good for it.
He always is. $1,000 to get you to do whatever they want you to do.
All the other calls you just dismiss because you just do. Ben, I knew he was good for it. But everybody that had called, you could go back and look at that 2 minute and 12 second period of time on PayPal where I sang the song, the theme to Moving On.
Yeah.
That 2 minutes and 12 second song, we made $26.52 per second. $3,500.
Thank you. Wow. Say it again.
Which part?
The total amount.
A little over $3,500.
That's amazing. I told you to sing the Merle.
I keep getting emails from Russ. We're singing that GD song.
And I told him, this will not be archived. It's not on RussMartin.fm. And some listeners, and actually, I guess there was some big buildup because their listeners ready with their phones ready to record it, the display, in their car.
Okay, that makes sense. I saw
you
see that's
flash
what was
in the Eagle Rocks, Eagle Rocks, Dallas, Fort Worth, and you hear this idiot singing Merle Haggard Moving On.
Because I had a few people post that on my Facebook, and I think even tweet it to me, and I just assumed you were just playing country songs for the hell of it. I didn't realize it was actually you singing.
The whole thing. He did good, too.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. It really wasn't bad.
That's not a compliment. Think about it. Let's say you and I just had butt sex.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
4:34. Another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by American Idol on Fox, starting off in Dallas. North on I-35, right at Beckley Avenue. Got an accident there in the clearing state. This traffic is backed up back to Illinois. Also in Dallas, south on I-35, right at Commerce Street. Got an accident blocking the three left lanes. Traffic there is jacked up back from Inwood Road. Moving to Frisco, northbound on the tollway, right at Main Street. That road construction there still has traffic completely stopped back from Stonebrook Parkway. Still a half-hour delay through it. In Grand Prairie, westbound 20, right at Beltline Road. Got an accident there in the clearing stages now. Traffic there is backed up back to Duncanville Road. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Spur 280. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's jacked up back to Northeast 28th Street. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by H&R Block. Tonight, clear skies and cold, a low of 29. And tomorrow, sunny and, of course, windy. Thanks for the cold front. We only see a high of 36. Right now, it's 58 and 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Yeah, the whole Merle event, that seems like that was months ago.
Yeah, but really it was only a week?
It was December 23rd. But I don't know why, just so many days of not actually being on here. I was up here at the station doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it really seems like that was more than just a week or so ago.
It does.
And I'm surprised. I knew you were going out of town. I forgot exactly where it was. But I was surprised that I didn't hear from you. Because people, like, this was going to be this big event. I got to record this with my phone. Sitting in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised, you know, the guy that sent me the copy, I reposted it. I went, what the hell? I can't run from it. It's not in the RussMartin.fm archives. We didn't keep it. But there's a guy sitting in his car recording the whole song. I'm surprised he just didn't start screaming, damn it, damn it, and pull off the road. There were only a couple of people that recorded it like that. One of them's on YouTube.
Perfect.
I have no idea how many views. But at least the version of the guy that recorded it in his car, for whatever reason, sounds a little bit better than it did live.
You mean in here?
It sounds a little bit, the version sounds better than.
Okay.
Because he's, you know, recording it off his phone.
Yeah.
And I guess iPhone's recording, the newer one's recording stereo, because his version was in stereo.
Well, nice.
Yes, Garrett.
Hey, what's up? I was just going to say that I missed your little concert the other night, but I think it'd be real cool. I love you, and I love Merle. I think it'd be pretty cool if you could play it on the radio again.
No. No, no.
Why not?
No.
I'm with Garrett. If it was worth doing on Christmas Eve, by God, it's worth doing now.
That was, first of all, we weren't even supposed to be on, and it was around 7:20, so wasn't going to affect our ratings at all. No. Let Nikki Six find out why our show ran late. He's saying what? Where?
Eagle?
I got an email from Kelly Kibler, our VP of Texas.
What'd she say?
Did you sing Merle Haggard on our station? I sent back, no, I sang Merle Haggard on my station.
Bam! Dropped the mic on her.
Go back and check the Nielsens.
My station.
Oh, side note, you know, Bob Pittman, our CEO, cut that PSA for us for the RMS Foundation?
Yes. Yeah, it was very nice of him.
I got a check today from the Pittman Foundation for $500 for the RMS Foundation.
And we're assuming that's his foundation?
I had to email him and ask because it just said the Pittman Family Foundation, $500, and it had no other information on it. The signature you couldn't make out. And it was from New York, so the only person I could assume was Bob Pittman, our CEO.
Yeah.
Sent an email and went, I got $500. Is this you? He goes, yep. And he sent it with a smiley face emoticon.
What?
I got a smiley face from our CEO.
Nuh-uh.
I believe I'm unfireable at this point.
You go.
Yeah.
Does he? Hang on.
Russ got an emoji.
First of all, what's that pounding going on?
Oh, that's building construction floors above us.
All right, go ahead.
Come again? Wait, how many?
Okay. And I didn't ask him for anything. In fact, he was the one that offered, can I cut a PSA for the foundation? He asked Kibler about it. They send that. And then I get this check for $500 from his own Pittman Family Foundation, whatever that is.
That's unreal.
I didn't ask for it. I didn't solicit it.
Has anyone asked him, or do you know, does he have family currently or prior in law enforcement or military?
I don't think so.
Fire?
He's never said.
Because, I mean, coupled with the check to the foundation is the Show Your Stripes campaign. To help vets get a job, that Clear Channel pushed, or iHeartMedia, I would think that maybe he knows somebody.
I have no answer.
Especially,
and it's like you brought up, out of all the stations that we own, over 800,
mm-hmm.
all the shows, all the, air quotes, on-air talent, he would choose to listen to this show, offer to cut a liner for my foundation, and then send it unsolicited. $500.
and give you a smiley face in an email. Yeah.
And it goes back to the original Dan question that Dan asked. Why?
Yeah. It's... Now I'm fine with it. He's sending you smiley faces. That's technically flirting. You could own a company by this time tomorrow if you felt like it.
I felt like if I'll sing Merle for $3,500, and that's got to be more than Merle makes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
$26 a second per second.
Yeah, no, he's not making that cash anymore.
Uh-uh. Oh, he still tours a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, Alfie and Chloe and Anna DeHaro, who you hear on the station from time to time, they want to rent a bus and go see Merle play where?
One of the casinos north of here. I don't remember which one.
They want a road trip. I think Kenzie even brought this up on the air one day. It was either on the air or off the air.
Hmm.
About a road trip to go see Merle. I went, I just like that one song. The theme, the moving on, that wasn't even really a big hit on NBC. And now they're all planning road trips to go see Merle.
Are you going?
No.
You got room for one more?
Of course we do.
I'm in.
Come on, let's go. Let's do this.
Is it on a weekend?
I believe it is.
Because I'm sure Merle plays during the week.
No, not Merle.
I picture Merle just doing like one show a week.
I don't know how many. I really haven't checked his schedule. The man's got to be almost 80.
Yes. I did see him at one of the quarterly country award shows not long ago. He was there in the audience looking like he was there.
Looking like his last name.
Yeah.
Alfie, why you send me this link?
We should go.
I'm not going.
And by we, I mean you. We'll all go.
No, you won't.
Yes, we will.
I'll be on that bus by myself.
No, you won't.
Know the entire time.
Oh.
I'm going to see Merle Haggard.
We would not ditch you like that. We would actually go with you.
That's what I'd do to you guys.
But that's not what we would do to you.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Not for Merle. You can play pick up some moves and some...
Some moves from Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
What,
well, not really? Okay, not moves. Okay, bad word.
Do I have to remind you that we're on a rock/talk station?
Yeah, but like...
Merle.
Yeah.
Merle's playing Windstar on Saturday, April 4th.
Perfect.
Plenty of time to plan.
How far is it from here to the... Is Windstar almost at the border?
It's right at the border. Take less than an hour to get here from here. There from here.
You guys want to go see Merle? I will drive to Starplex to see... Give me a band we play.
BFD.
Yeah, I won't see it. The BFD.
Yeah, for our own station concert. Yeah.
But I'm going to drive to Oklahoma to see Merle Haggard.
This show ain't just Merle. It's Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson, too.
Damn. It's like the old dude's ride again.
Wow.
It's the Life Alert tour.
That's probably the perfect sponsor.
Because if you think about it, it's like, I'm pretty sure Kris Kristofferson's probably the most mobile one of the three.
Mm-hmm.
See, all three of them, obviously for, you know, the encore, they all three come out at the same time. Watch this. We could turn the lights on and off from up here.
See?
What?
We should go.
I'm not going. I'll play the first 20 seconds from December 23rd.
Of you singing Merle?
This is from Facebook.
Awesome.
I don't have a copy on my flash. I don't know how loud the audio is going to be on this.
Okay.
This is from Diego Sanchez. He recorded it in his car and sent it to me after he had already posted it on Facebook.
Oh.
Oh. That's right. I forgot.
Help me, Jesus. Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling. Move down. Big wheels rolling. Gotta keep on going, baby. Big wheels rolling. Moving on. White line is lifeline to the nation, and men like Lily Sonny make it move. Living like gypsies,
think there's something about hearing it on the radio. It's not as bad as it was here in the studio.
Okay.
It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man. And hand to hold that load behind. Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling.
Yeah, right, sounds good.
Going. What?
Sounds good.
There.
That was a big day.
Clearly.
Yeah, clothes all excited at the end. Man, you knew the words, and it would come in when not.
Because he sits around and practices when no one's listening or watching.
I'm not playing all this again. It's not for free.
Yeah. It would be fair to the people that paid.
Yeah.
It takes a special breed to be a
truck driving
man.
Instead
of hanging in the road that
goes
higher.
Oh,
God.
Eight wheels rolling.
What? It's like white boy beat claps there.
I think I started. I was off.
Okay.
This fades out close.
Woo!
Yeah!
You do every word you want to come in.
That's exciting. Right?
Yeah, you are. Got a free concert. Cloded.
You know, our band charges $5,000 to play for every white trash event.
Mm-hmm.
This past time we got a lot more because Cowboys Arlington made it free. We ended up making like $20,000.
Yeah.
But normally the band charges $5,000. And after a hard costs that we have, because there's sometimes we have to rent equipment. We don't get it for free. We maybe net $4,200. We made $3,500 without any practice. We didn't even have to play 2 hours at a venue.
Maybe something to that. Maybe the next concert shouldn't be at a venue, but should just be in this room.
Oh, we can stream it live. With the video streaming stuff that we've got, we could do it. We could do it from a venue. Do it at a convenient time where we don't have to stay up late. We don't have to get up early. Record it. Lie. Say it's live.
Uh-huh.
And then charge for it. If I can make $3,500 in 2 minutes, certainly we can make at least $5,000 for an hour and a half.
You would hope. But I'd just be worried at the novelty of it, though. Because part of the reason I would imagine there was so much interest in this was because it was a song no one had heard you sing before.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a song anybody knows. Nobody here had ever heard it, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Didn't know of the TV series.
Nope. Mm-mm.
There was something special and magical, though, about that day.
Say it again. There was something magical about that day. What was it about that day?
It was just the fact that it was a day that we were supposed to be off. Nobody expected it at all. And the listeners that were there 100%.
And they were excited. The phone calls. I didn't take all of them. Alfie said they're ecstatic that we're doing anything live. Well, how do they really know we went from best of back to live?
I guess they could just sense it somehow.
Yeah, but there were emails thanking us. It was crazy.
That smells. It smells live.
Man, I think those bastards are live.
There was a pizza delivery guy that sent me an email. I was so excited when you guys came on live around 5:30. He said, and then when I knew you were going to do Merle, he goes, those pizzas. And they waited.
Oh, my God.
He goes, most of them were cold. By the time they got where they needed to go.
It's no excuse for doing poorly at your job.
There's no way that man is going to sing Merle Haggard on a rock station. Not a chance.
Hey, you're right. There are just too many things that align to make it perfect. A, I can't sing. B, it's a rock station. Had it been on a country station, not a big deal.
Nah, it wouldn't have stood
even
out at all.
Even if it's not a song that's in rotation, which it's not.
Mm-mm.
Moving on, big wheels rolling. Wasn't a hit.
No, it was probably never in rotation.
Yeah, it's like, what? any market above a 40 probably does not have that rotation.
And any market above 40 would not have a jock on the air that would get drunk and sing Merle Haggard. I don't know whether to take credit for being groundbreaking or just a mongoloid.
People loved it. They felt that it was some sort of special Christmas gift for them.
There was one guy that actually said
yes,
that.
There what? There was a lot that said that. Thanks for they considered it a Christmas gift.
Not just the Merle song. It was a Merle song along with the fact that we came on live. And really, I just planned on, because during Best Of, when I intro Alfie for traffic, those are recorded.
Yeah.
I said, all right, let me just do this one live. I got to tell Frisco PD to let Gina go.
do traffic. My housekeeper.
Then we'll go back into Best Of. And then we never went back into Best Of.
Yeah.
Go Greg Plo. We're staying on live.
No, yeah, you called me. I was in the bathroom.
Oh, that's right.
Dropping some off. And I'm like, why is Russ calling me?
Let me guess. He called you when he was on the air?
No.
No.
It was during the break.
Oh, okay.
It's like I had 30 seconds to call him between traffic, weather, whatever. There was this reverb. I went, what are you doing? Taking a Ness. I went, get in the studio. We're going live. Okay.
Couldn't you have waited like 5 more minutes?
Pants up.
He said, I was almost done anyway. This is perfect. And where I thought we were going to go, I had no clue.
Well,
and I don't know why
I
decided, because I wasn't really drunk at the time. By 7:19, yeah. It was time for Merle.
No, but it took some coaxing for you to do that, though.
It wasn't until Ben Garrison called, because I knew he was, if he says I'm going to do this, he'll do it.
Yes.
I went, okay, $1,000, 2-minute song. I know most of the words. I got 90% of them. There, one time there at the beginning, I went,
I
don't
know.
Yeah, who's going to know?
Yeah, who's going to critique it anyway?
I was just astounded at the fact that people were, that they considered being live at all some type of special gift just for them. I know we're the only ones listening, and we can tell the difference between Best Of and live.
Some people can.
So we're in our own club, and we know that you've gone live.
They can smell it. Or as Alfie said, they can sense it. They can sense the magic in the air.
And you could almost hear the intonation in the emails. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the 23rd and going live.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because I know a lot of Best Ofs, the way you guys cut them up, sometimes it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny how, because you guys got the emails you got saying, oh my God, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. I got a handful of the other type of listener. Since I wasn't there, almost like they're telling on you. It's like, hey, man, you got to get back to Texas. You won't believe what they're up to. You got to get back there. You got to rein them in.
They're doing live shows without you, man. You better get back on out there.
They're doing Merle.
You better hit that white line.
Moving on.
I think at one point I even said on the air, I went, Dan is not going to believe any of this. There's no reason to archive this. And it's not. Not on our website, unless somebody recorded it, posted it on YouTube again.
So, and that's
the last 5:30 to 7:20, just short of a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's not on .fm.
And that right there is what makes it even more special.
They didn't know that at the time.
They didn't know it at the time, but that's after the fact. Then they can appreciate, as Alfie said, that magical special time when it was a show just for them, just in that time, just for them, not people watching on a video stream, not people paying $10 for the .fm.
I wonder if during Best Of they feel an obligation to listen. I don't know why. I'm just guessing. And it's just background noise. And then somehow they hear something. Hey, I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, you're right. It's on in the background, but then they notice something slightly different, or they notice a slight disturbance in the forest.
Yeah, I haven't heard this.
No, stop! Oh, hell, they're damn blind!
Mama!
Mama, get in here! They went damn blind! County law!
I wish I had any type of answer for it.
I'm surprised people didn't immediately start setting off like marker, like bonfires. Whoosh, RMS is live. Neighborhood to neighborhood.
Flares, pass it on. RMS is live.
Carrier pigeons carrying messages.
They're all drunk. The only sober one's gone. Turn the radio on now.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
504, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com traffic center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Empire on Fox. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound I-30 right near 2nd Avenue. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is jacked up back from the Mixmaster. Also in Dallas, southbound I-35. Right at Commerce Street, got an accident blocking the left shoulder. Traffic there is backed up back from Inwood Road. Still in Dallas, northbound I-35, this one at Beckley. That accident there is now in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from Illinois Avenue. In Grand Prairie, westbound I-20, right at Beltline Road, got an accident there in the clearing stages as well. Traffic is backed up back from Duncanville Road. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound 35W, right at Spur 280, got an accident in the clearing stages. Traffic is jacked up back from Northeast 28th Street. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Clear skies tonight, 29 for the low. Tomorrow, it's much colder. Sunny, though, but still going to be windy. A high of just 36. Right now, it is 58 degrees, but 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling. Gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
I don't know if that's a gang sign or whatever, but the upside down hook 'em horns from this point forward is Merle.
Usually it means, you know, like down with, you know, UT Longhorns, but you can turn it into Merle. Or you could take the gang sign for West Side and just flip her around. Go,
yeah. That way.
That's a big M.
I don't think it's anything.
Or just go, you start it vertical, start with a W.
Quit it.
Go West Side, then you flip it around, West Side Merles.
Country. Merle. Country West Side.
That's right. West Side Merles. Look at that.
It is the...
We have a gang.
It's the oddest things,
yeah,
that we attach ourselves to. Mm-hmm. And then you feel responsible because the listeners somehow get attached to it. I just wonder if there's been a surge in searches on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure there have.
Because the song is actually called Moving On.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called Big Wheels Rolling.
I would like to think that we have...
I just wonder if there's a surge, even with smaller country stations playing it, and all of a sudden we're all going... Why am I getting checks for Moving On?
Yeah. Yeah, he got a check for like $3. Like, man, look at this. There have been times, though, in our history where we've made an impact on certain really random things.
Two questions. How and why?
I can't really answer those. I like the idea of us taking a little bit of responsibility.
White trash.
Well, a little bit of responsibility for some of the success of the movie Bubba Hotep. Mm-hmm. I know locally for a while, when it first came out on video, it could not be found. And it was because we talked about it.
Yeah, you can find it at Blockbuster. Mm-mm. Somebody just sent me a trailer from YouTube. 3 minutes long. I went, all right, well produced. Looks really good. No way, that's an entire movie. This is a host job. Because I know that was Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
I don't even think I knew who Bruce Campbell was at the time, and we're talking about 03.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you didn't know who he was at the time.
we start talking about it, and by the end of the movie, you really believe that Elvis is battling a zombie, and you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he sets a zombie on fire and goes, sorry, man, and hits him with a Zippo.
Yeah. No, you're right. By the end of the movie, not even the end of the movie, like halfway through the movie, you've completely bought into the entire premise. It is, in fact, old real Elvis alive at an East Texas nursing home battling a zombie
with a black
a zombie mummy
with a black JFK.
Exactly.
Who's got a bag of sand for brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the mummy sucks the souls out of old people's beeholes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the how or the why, I don't know, but I'm sure that, yeah, some Merle moving on searches have spiked. I imagine even a few people have probably tried to look up Luke Bryan's discography in the last month or so. I even bet there were a few people who tried to figure out how historically accurate the Christmas special was.
I got those emails. Wasn't many. I think it was maybe three. You realize that the wise men didn't really arrive at Bethlehem until was it months, years?
They don't know. They think it could have been. The story of it being that night is a little far-fetched. Some people say if they actually had got there, it might have been a couple years later. Could have been a couple months later. Whatever. They don't know.
So you had an issue with that, but not the other stuff.
Yeah, not the portrayal of the wise men? Just the timeline. Okay.
Or the fact that the wise men stopped off at Bucky's to buy gifts.
Mm-hmm. Including a do-rag.
Or the fact the Archangel sounded like Bobcat Goldthwait.
And even though it was radio, looked a lot like him, too.
Everything else with that, you're okay with. But the fact that the three wise men didn't really get there before the birth. Now you got an issue. Think about the whole thing. Really, who was there to record all of this, to archive all of it? How would you really know what happened when the wise men found out about it? All we know, mostly, the only cohesive story that seems to be floating around is the one from the Charlie Brown Christmas.
And that's, as sad as that sounds, it really is a really good take on it.
But if you research it, even going to the Bible, a lot of it's iffy.
And really, it's kind of odd because you would have thought the birth of Christ would have been a much more discussed, written about time in the Christian faith. Instead, it's like kind of a passing thing in Matthew. And in Luke, he says what happened. But it's not
what
in
did
near,
Luke say?
Man, I hadn't done this voice in a couple weeks.
What is St. Luke about the birth of Christ?
I just know the gospel, according to me, Luke Bryan, comma, CMA Entertainer of the Year, 2014. It says they couldn't find any space at any ends until one a-hole said, you can shack up in the shed. And so those nice people said, okay, we'll take it. And then the baby was born. And that's the gospel according to me, Luke Bryan, CMA Entertainer of the Year.
I think back to the special. Because as we're recording it, you don't really appreciate all the lines because you've been through it I don't know how many times. You just want to get it to tape so you can add the special effect. But when the baby Jesus' head starts to breach the canal.
Yeah.
What was Luke's line? It's like another dimension?
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, no. Oh, it's opening up. It's like a door to another dimension.
That was one of my favorite moments.
Thank you. Oh my God.
I think my favorite was when Luke said, that's what I said.
Oh, about the myrrh?
Yeah,
when baby Jesus says,
what the hell is myrrh?
That's what I said.
He's still pissed off about it.
I'm sitting on to get the myrrh on one of the.
Because, man, I wanted to get baby Jesus the do-rag. Now, he looked bitching in a do-rag. Little baby Messiah. People take you serious, you wearing a do-rag.
So So in another 2,000-3,000 years, you're like, I swear Luke Bryan was there.
Yeah, because if you think about it, had that baby Messiah worn my do-rag from Bucky's, instead, 2,000 years later, the Pope's not wearing funny hats. Instead, he's wearing kick-ass do-rags.
I don't know whether to be proud of that special or...
I'm proud of it. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay. I'll leave it at that.
Now the problem is, though, is do you think it was a classic enough to where we can just rerun it every Christmas?
I will. There will not be a new one.
I'm just asking. I didn't know if maybe since a little time has passed, you've changed your mind.
No. Too soon.
Fair enough. Ask you again in about 11 months.
Even over the summer. We make it that far. That was just... Well, what else are you going to do as a Christmas special?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, really is.
After the birth of Christ.
There's the other standard stories that we've already done in the past. Like we did A Christmas Carol. So where you were visited by the ghost of Christmas past, present, future, all that.
I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
Did we do It's a Wonderful Life?
I want to say yes. But that was so long ago, it's hard to really remember.
I think we go out on whatever this last one was that we did, whatever we called it.
The Christ story? I don't. What was the final title, Alfie?
The Russ Martin Show Christmas Special.
Sounds good. Solid.
Where the narrator calls Joseph, Joseph.
It really is one of those things you could listen to over and over and find something new each time.
Yeah, because there's no way we were going to catch it to fix it.
Hell, if you want, next year we can go the TBS route. Just roll it back to back for 24 hours, just like a Christmas story.
Or try and do it live.
Oh. Hello.
Was that an anxious fart?
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see if that, was there an update on the Dallas firefighters in that wreck today? Are all of them at this point still okay?
As far as I know, they're all okay. They were injured when they...
I just saw Fox 4 run a tease for the story.
Yeah, I think it was 4 firefighters injured when their truck ran into a cement mixer.
The cement mixer tried to beat the fire truck either through the light, something like that. Even though all the witnesses said the fire engine had the lights and siren going. And the fire engine hit the cement truck with enough force to knock it over sideways.
Yeah. Yeah, the photo of it's pretty impressive. Yeah, 5 people, including 4 Dallas firefighters, been transported to a local hospital after an accident involving a fire truck and a cement mixer. All 5 have non-life-threatening injuries. That's according to Dallas Fire Rescue spokesman Jason Evans. DFR initially reported 6 people had been transported, but since have said there was only 1 civilian taken to the hospital for further examination. Evans said truck 24 was headed to a structure fire when it was involved in an accident at 2nd Avenue and Hatcher Street in South Dallas. DFR said the truck had its lights and siren on. Dallas police are investigating how the accident occurred, but witnesses said the cement truck may have been at fault. Arthur Pena said the cement truck was sitting at the intersection waiting to make a left turn, so I guess he decided to go ahead and try to beat the fire truck. Fire truck never slowed down. He smashed right into him.
I'm going to guess that part of that was on purpose. Oh, you wouldn't play chicken with the fire with DFR. Nothing else?
No, that's it. Okay. The rest of the story was just photos and just saying the guy said, it was pretty dramatic. But the firefighter injuries amounted to cuts and bruises.
Okay. You ready for news?
Sure.
Okay. All right, 517. Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Tuesday, January 6th, 2015. Birthdays today. Cristela Alonzo, star of the ABC sitcom Cristela and also from Dallas, is 36. Danny Pintaro, who was on Who's the Boss, he turns 39. Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl on The Walking Dead, is 46. Director John Singleton, 47. Rowan Atkinson is 60, best known as Mr. Bean. Malcolm Young, who's now the former guitarist for AC/DC thanks to dementia, is 62. Kim Wilson from the Fabulous Thunderbirds is 64. And coaching great, now ESPN personality Lou Holtz is 78. A Dallas police officer is recovering from a beating by a man he tried removing from a North Dallas AT&T store, according to police. Thomas Davidson from Florida, he's 26, is charged with assaulting a public servant and criminal trespass. He reportedly got mad on Sunday when he was told that he couldn't pay for 3 cell phones with cash. But the manager refused the sale and asked him to leave. An off-duty officer who was working security and in uniform tried to escort Davidson out. Witnesses say Davidson grabbed the officer's uniform, pulled him to the ground, straddled him, and punched him. Court documents say his witnesses tried to pull the 5'10", 225-pound Davidson off.
So there were people that tried to help the Dallas officer?
There were. The officer deployed his taser but didn't hit him. Finally, the officer used it as a stun gun, hitting him several times and holding him until the backup arrived. Now, not everyone was looking out for the officer's welfare. According to Ron Pinkston, president of the Dallas Police Association, there were reports there were people videotaping while he was being beat up and pounded by the suspect. Instead of going to the officer's rescue, there were people who thought it was more important to videotape on their phones than helping. There is surveillance video from the store showing the attack, but both the Dallas Police Association and the Dallas Fraternal Order of Police want to see it. DPD has not released it yet.
Was this a black-white thing?
I don't know the race of the officer, but the suspect is black.
Because I can't think of any other reason why they would feel a need to say, hey, here's what happened. The officer was just escorting the guy out. Is that what it says in the story?
Yes.
So it doesn't look like, all right, let's throw the race card in.
Right now, no.
Also, why do you want to buy 3 phones with cash?
I imagine the policy is...
Cash really isn't a bad word. I use credit cards for everything, but I pay them off every month because I don't let anything float.
Right.
If it's one of those prepaid phones, I know a lot of stores will refuse to sell more than a couple of them, especially if it's cash. The store that I used to work at, some guy walked in and wanted to buy 20 of them with cash, and our manager said, no, thank you. I appreciate your business, but please take it elsewhere.
How do you explain it?
Just the fact that they're untraceable and just say,
I mean, how do you explain it to the customer? We're not going to accept your business because of?
Because of the fact that we feel uncomfortable selling you this many phones in cash, untraceable.
Well, what if I wanted to come in and buy 20 TVs with cash?
You're more than welcome to, but with phones, it's a different story.
Well, why phones?
Because we don't know what you're going to be using them for.
Well, you don't know if I bought 20 TVs, what I'm going to be using those for.
You'd probably be watching them, but with phones, you might be conducting some illicit business.
So this is profiling.
Yes, but it's well within our right to do so.
Hmm. Alfie, ask me what he's going to do with the phone.
What are you going to do with the phone, sir?
I'm going to call 20 people or they hang up. Why? You ask everybody what they're going to do with the phone when they buy it?
Yes, we do. Make sure they get the best experience.
You ask everybody what they're going to do with the phone.
Yes, if they need apps.
These burners. I mean, these phones. That don't do anything but call.
Yes, we'd like to know so we can make sure that you have the best experience possible.
What if I said I'd already bought 20 before this and I was happy with them, so I wanted 20 more?
Well, in that case, sir, that just gives me more reason not to sell you them.
Why? Because I already bought 20? Is that the way that you reward repeat customers?
Are there a lot of companies that do that? They won't let you buy. Now, I'm guessing this guy was trying to buy phones that were nothing but phones.
The story does not specify, and I hadn't heard about this until this story.
Because that's going to – I didn't say what type of phone.
No.
Say what type of store he was thrown out of?
It was an AT&T store.
Okay.
Which really doesn't help because whether it's a Verizon store, AT&T store, or T-Mobile, they all have the throwdown phones.
The basic phones, you can buy it like Tom Thumb?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're kind of like just regular flip phones.
It's about the cheapest you can get.
Yeah.
You know, when I tried to buy my birthday a few years ago, when I bought you guys iPads, I think I ran into a problem where I couldn't buy more than three. I don't know why.
Were they on sale?
I was going to buy one for myself.
Right.
So obviously I couldn't, and I just bought yours. I bought mine the next day. I don't know if that was just like a quota thing of, you know, not too many to one person. They may be putting them on eBay.
That was going to be my guess. That right there. I don't think they were worried about you using iPads as burners, but I think they would worry about, yeah, they were new enough at the time, they would think you'd take them to eBay and sell them at a marked up rate.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. What was that last one? Man, I can't remember. According to a new survey, the average person has posted 17 things on social media that they regret. And, of course, a lot of those posts were made drunk. The average person also posts 10 things every year that they quickly delete. 1 in 3 have gotten in trouble with their boss over something that they posted online. So what?
I think with most people, you can delete it and not really worry about it.
Most people,
a celebrity. That's going to be screen capped and you're out.
Absolutely.
Oh, I got to get rid of this tweet. I got to get rid of this account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was hacked. Okay.
Yeah, that's not my weenie. All of these pictures from your account, that's not your weenie.
That's the one?
Yeah, that person got in and texted out pictures of their weenie.
So at 5:51, there was a picture of your dog, 5:52 weenie, 5:53 dog. So what happened?
How did they text in between? It makes it look more believable. Like, oh, here's me and my dog. Here's my weenie. Here's me and my dog. And they just happen to pick a guy named Anthony Weiner. You think of who would be better? I don't know. Anthony Dog Weiner.
The top things people most regret posting on social media are...
pictures of them drunk.
That's number 2, drunk photos.
Pictures of food.
Nope, 15.
Pictures of family. I know it's kind of vague. Pictures of selfies.
Yeah, vain selfies, 14.
Like Larry North at Hunky's or wherever he was, and he sent me a picture of his pelvic zone. No penis, no hair.
No, he just wanted you to
look
see
how
his...
flat my abs are. Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of me. I just decided to take it here in this mirror here at Hunky's or Lucky's or whatever gay place he was patronizing.
Some place where he was pulling up his shirt.
All right. Selfies.
Pictures of food. Drunk photos.
What's the total list?
There's 15.
There's no way.
No, okay. You're not going to get all of them. 13, unpleasant comments about someone.
Okay.
Number 12, jokes that showed bad taste. 11, controversial opinions that got people offended, which is silly because I know people that will post stuff on Facebook for that exact purpose. Number 10, bad language.
The problem is a lot of people will set up Facebook accounts and use their real name. So if it's something really offensive, really? How about if I call your boss or send this on to your company?
Yeah.
And show that you posted this? Really? Are you supposed to represent all of whatever this company is? All of you hate the Negroes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't think about that when they set up the account.
No.
I'm stone cold sober. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite is still, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, when someone, including members of the media, will post this, thinking it works, on their profile they'll post, tweets are my own, or what I say here does not speak for the company I work for, whatever the case is. Hey, idiot, it doesn't matter. Just because you say tweets are my own, that doesn't mean you can't get in trouble for them. That doesn't mean you still can't get sued by somebody.
Yeah, why do you have to associate yourself with a company when you set up your Facebook account? Well, I'm proud of where I work. Well, they're not really proud of you. That's how you got fired.
Yeah. Number 9, loving comments about an ex.
Damn. That's not only sad, that's pathetic. Miss my ex. I wish I can't think of anything I wish I hadn't have done.
Man, if only I, we'd still be together.
Just that one night.
or busted up her laptop, maybe we'd still be together. I'm like, Jesus, thank my Lord every night that I busted up that laptop.
Hey, amen. I mean, it sucked at the time.
It was fine. I made it through it. Tested my faith. I passed. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Not once, but two polygraphs.
Nobody else took polygraphs. Nobody.
Yeah. Number 8, photos in skimpy clothing or underwear. People regret that. 7, photos of you doing things you shouldn't have been doing. That's obviously really vague, so.
I shouldn't have sent this one out because probably everybody takes a every morning.
Or maybe it was the one of the lady who posted on her Facebook the stolen credit card she just used to buy a bunch of stuff.
I got my cash.
post with an opinion you don't have anymore. 5, emotional outbursts. 4, boring status updates. 3, immature comments. 2, you already got drunk photos. And 1, just all around unflattering photos.
It sounds like a good portion of those go back to drunken posts.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't do an unflattering photo if you were sober.
Mm-mm.
Or if you were sober, what changed your mind?
Yeah.
Hey, that big wad of fat shooting out between your bra and your panties. That's not flattering. Because if you were sober, you wouldn't have posted that. Because you can see the big wad of fat, unless you're just used to seeing it every day.
Yeah, it could be. Your mind just is automatically trained to look past it.
I bet all women look like this. A big wad of fat that shoots out from underneath the bra to the panty line.
Well, you thought it was okay because the stripes were vertical?
The stripes on my panties?
Or the shirt, whatever.
I don't know. I'm still smaller than Tara Dorsey, so I think I'm hot. Exotic hot. Like a Maserati.
There it is.
How long before we need a break?
Now.
Are we late?
Yes.
How late?
At least by 3 minutes.
Read another story.
That sounds about right. A Texas lawmaker has filed a bill seeking to make the cowboy hat the official hat of the Lone Star State.
Finally.
Yeah. The Houston Chronicle reports. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:37. Another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's White Thunder.
Thank you. Our single traffic brought to you by the Advanced Vaping System from Finn. Let's get started off in Dallas, southbound I-35, right at Commerce Street. That accident there has been cleared out. Traffic's still kind of jacked up back from Inwood Road. In McKinney now, southbound 75, right at El Dorado Road. Construction has the right lane shut down. Traffic is backed up back from Wilmoth Road. In Burleson, southbound 35W, right at Ellsbury Boulevard. Got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up back from the Seminary. Finally, in Lake Worth, westbound 199, just after north of Bay 20, got an accident there. That one has traffic backed up back from River Oaks Boulevard. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by American Idol on Fox. Tonight, skies will be clear and cold with a low of 29. Tomorrow, sunny and windy, a high of 36. Right now, 56. The 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
So, who is it? The guy that we see from our traffic department that carries the cake around?
Uh-huh.
Think that guy's in heat?
It seems to be.
He's just one of those unassuming guys.
He seems like
it. The only thing
like
that makes him stand out is he's always carrying a plate with cake on it.
Yes.
And you always ask yourself, where did he get cake? How does he get cake every day? He must bring cake. There's no way that there's cake up here every day.
No.
We don't have enough cake sponsors.
No.
He obviously either makes or bakes his own cake up here in an easy bake.
and then carries it back to the traffic reporting department. And that's it.
Yeah.
There's never a conversation. But he and I were accidentally on the elevator one day, and I wanted to ask him about the cakes, but I felt too uncomfortable.
You didn't want to be too forward? Where did you get those cakes?
Where does he get those fabulous cakes? So what makes you think he's in heat?
Okay, well, Alfie or Chloe was telling me the other day that over the last week, 2 weeks, he's asked out the girl at the front desk. He's asked out...
Which chick? Because we have a few chicks that rotate at the front desk.
The new main one. I don't
all
know.
Right. Where, I know who that. Okay.
Good.
He's apparently asked her out. He has asked out at least one of the promotions girls, maybe a couple of them. And then...
I like the one who had on high heels today.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Like dress? You'd like to say, that's a really nice outfit. But you don't want them to turn around and go,
that's it. That's all I needed. Uh-huh. Sexual harassment. I got my money.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then... And then also, he apparently, cake guy, also asked out Kinsey.
No. Does he know who Kinsey is? Or was it just the fact that there's this blonde walk around in the hall?
I think it's the fact that it was a blonde walking through the hallway that he didn't necessarily know.
I bet she likes cake.
And actually, he may have lured her with cake.
You like to get in this big white van with cake?
And unfortunately, knowing Kinsey, she might have said yes.
I like cake. Cake is like cake. Cake is so cool. I don't even say cool anymore. I say cake.
But that's why.
Did Kinsey tell you guys that?
Yeah. And that's why I assume that he must be in some sort of. What was it? In, what was the thing Spock went through every 7 years?
Pomfar?
Ponfar.
Ponfar?
I think it's Ponfar.
Whatever.
Okay, so Cake Guy
went through heat, he had to go back and mate.
Yeah, that feels like that's what Cake Guy's doing because he has been, for the most part, entirely unassuming up until the last week or so when all of a sudden he's asking out everything with boobs.
Well, that explains why he cut through my shirt with his thin blade and made me bleed. Chloe wants to get that one, but I can tell by his face. He can't.
I think he just gave up. He's like, yeah, forget it.
It's an episode of Star Trek when Spock's in heat, and for whatever reason he has to fight Captain Kirk.
Okay.
They have these big long things with blades on them. Almost looks like something from the Pit and the Pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cuts his shirt. Shirt comes open because it has to. He's Captain Kirk.
Yeah, he's got to show his chest.
Thin line of blood.
Ah. Spock, cut me. So anyway, Cake Guy is going through Pomfar, and you are apparently going to be sliced at some point.
I've sliced you with my cake cutter.
So, yeah, so I think...
Maybe he think has he... I haven't seen him in a while. Has he lost weight? Has he started working out?
No, I saw him today. He looks exactly the same.
So it's not like there's been some type of metamorphosis.
No.
Where he feels like it's okay to ask all these chicks out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like he had some sort of...
And it's even at work, you're running the risk of somebody going to HR and saying, This makes me like uncomfortable because he doesn't really share the cake.
I don't know if maybe I know we all work for the same company, but he's got different supervisors in that department. So maybe I don't know if he's asking out the women in his department. Maybe he's just focusing on the girls outside his walls.
I think being in this building, regardless, that's why I say very little to anybody outside of this studio, short of Anna DeHaro. Because Anna DeHaro, I know I could say anything, and she ain't going to corporate.
No, no, no. And if anything, at this point.
Yeah, I could go to corporate.
Yeah, like on her. Yeah. That is a salty lady.
Yeah. If I called HR and said, Anna DeHaro made me uncomfortable, and immediately have her decapitated.
Because that's the only way it'll work.
I don't know what she could have done to make him uncomfortable. But obviously, she needs to be beheaded.
So, yeah, it's...
Did Kenzie feel uncomfortable? Who did she tell? Alfie or Chloe?
I think, was it you, Alfie?
Yeah, she told me. She didn't feel uncomfortable. She just sort of... I guess it maybe it weirded out a little bit.
How did he ask her out?
He just asked her if she wanted to go get coffee, I think. But it was just out of the blue, and that's kind of what threw her off.
Oh, yeah, because they've never actually had a conversation.
Exactly.
They had never talked?
No.
I bet it was in the break room, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because that's where I've actually had a couple of, I don't say accidental conversations, but I've spoken to him very briefly in the break room before. He's one of those guys that as he's microwaving his cake, he will carry on like a one-minute conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've been in the break room before, and he hasn't had conversations with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I've walked in before, and he was in the middle of a conversation with somebody else already. I think one time was with Bo from Bo and Jim. And Bo had the look on his face like, save me, brother.
Man, I don't give a flying about cake. What are you talking to me for? You want to talk about barbecue? Maybe. Or ninjas? but cake? Really?
The couple times I've talked to him, it was purely current event based because CNN was on in the break room.
Do you like current events? I just made this cake. Would you like to pull a three-way? You, me, Dan, and this cake?
No, I'm good, cake guy.
The cake can be like our lucky Pierre.
I'm okay. I appreciate the invites. Very nice of you.
All right.
But
no cream-filled cake?
No. No, it's actually somehow worse. Thank you.
I will ask out Kinsey. I bet she does not know about the magic of cake. Well, that's the other thing with asking out people at work is if they turn you down, then you got to see them all the time.
And not just that, but you're now going to be the talk. Because if you're not just asking out one girl, you're asking out at least three or four. And this is not a large office. It's going to get around that, hey, so-and-so is on the hunt. Watch out for the cake guy.
Is that the way Kenzie described him?
It was cake guy, wasn't it?
She didn't describe him as such, but when she pointed him out as he was walking by, okay, that's cake guy, Kenzie.
Okay, Kenzie, can you show me on the little cake guy doll where he touched you? He touched me like there, but I don't know if that's a bad spot or not, because I don't know.
You don't know where it is.
I'd never know where my vagina is. It like moves.
The sad thing is...
So far only... Are you sure all these chicks are on the up and up? We know Kenzie is.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't want this to turn into a Bill Cosby thing of, cake guy asked me out.
I don't think it's that morbid or serious.
Because I think Bill Cosby is up to 23 now.
Whatever it is. I've lost count with him. But no, I don't think it's anything that serious. I think he's actually going the opposite route of Bill Cosby. He's actually... talking to the women and asking them, you know, hey, would you like to go out sometime? As opposed to, hey, I'm cake guy, drink this.
She did say he was very respectful. Very polite.
Well, then you can't really say anything to HR. Because company policy says we can date corporate and say we can't date.
Oh, I'm just shaking my head like, I don't know what it says because I can't imagine ever doing it.
I don't think corporate incestuary...
I've just always
is frowned on.
I've always just said
if it's a superior or a inferior, as far as corporate scale, probably not a good idea. If you're level, then it's all right. I don't know.
I've always just been of the side of if not where you work, but things get ugly.
No, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay at CBS.
Well, it was fine.
I have gotten no poon. From any of the chicks here since I've been at where we work now.
iHeart. Yeah.
You hear that, Bob Pittman, CEO?
Whereas before at CBS,
they hired chicks for me to relate with.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I had done relating, they were no longer needed in their sales capacity.
Pretty
they
sure
they were gone before my fingers started smelling normal again.
Oh my God! See, this is one of those times where Bob Pittman, as big of a fan of yours he may be, I don't think he's going to go that route.
I have said nothing untoward.
No, you have not.
I have admitted to nothing.
I know. I'm just saying I don't see history repeating itself in this building.
Yeah.
As sad as that may make you.
It's been pretty unfruitful here. CBS was a cornucopia, a plethora of poon. Hefe.
You know what? Look at it this way, El Guapo.
It was like wearing a new sweater every week.
It's a sweater.
It's another sweater.
Look at it this way. At yes. CBS, it was there, and it was female. At iHeart, instead, it seems like you've got a better shot with male members of the board.
CEO because it sounds to me CFO. Like
it sounds to me like the CEO has flirted with you more than any of the sales chicks have. Because has a sales chick sent you a smiley face in an email?
No.
Has the CEO of this company?
Bob Pittman has.
I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not
but
saying
he also sent me a check for $500 for the foundation that was unsolicited.
Yeah, which means he thinks he can buy you. I'll get his attention.
Obviously, I've become known as a whore for the company. We sang Merle Haggard for $3,500.
Yeah.
Certainly give the CEO a job.
For $500. Oh, God.
And it took me a while to figure out because on the check, it was just a standard issue check for $500. It said the Pittman Family Foundation. And I looked at the return address. It said New York. I went, I don't know any Well, I know one, but I don't really know him. I know of Bob Pittman,
right.
CEO. We've never really talked. We've exchanged emails. He helped me out with the foundation. So I had to ask Kibler. I went, hey, does Bob Pittman have a foundation? She goes, yeah. He sent you a check for $500. What? All right, is the guy an a-hole? Is he just trying to make me cry? Because you know how it is with a foundation. You help me out with a PSA or anything with a foundation, and I'm going to choke up. Because all you got to do is read one letter from one widow, and any help to the foundation is just going to make you unable to breathe. And people don't get that.
No. And I think that partly...
And I don't mean that in an ugly way.
No.
They don't get the impact, whether it's... You know, like $1.62 that we get from the guy that tried to run for the mayor, Mesquite.
Hi, Don.
Because occasionally, you know, I always get notifications from PayPal. Hey, Don, whatever his last name is.
Hall.
Don Hall?
I think so.
Try to run for mayor of Mesquite. You've received a $1.62 donation.
But you know what?
It's still $1.62 more than I had.
Not only that, but that's more than we've actually received from the actual mayor of Mesquite.
Yeah, or the mayor of Arlington, or the mayor of 99% of the mayor Rawlings. I forgot about this. It was, I don't know if I said this on the air or not. Last year, 2014, sent $2,000 or $3,000, a donation to the foundation. Didn't ask for anything, didn't ask, nothing. And I don't think he did that on the air.
No.
This was an off-air check I got, and he never said anything about it. So, yeah, really, Don Hall.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the 1%. Even with $1.62.
Take it all.
Take it all. I even threw in an extra few pennies to compensate for what PayPal takes out.
That way you all get an even number.
And it's always just an odd amount under $10. I still tell him thank you. I wonder what he's, I don't know if he's collecting cans or if he's, you know, jerking people off at the truck stop on 80.
Oh, no, hopefully he'd get more than that.
I don't know what it pays. I don't know what the competition is, because the more people that are jerking others off, the lower you can charge. Okay, I could get jerked off by a guy that tried to run for Mayor Mesquite or this capuchin monkey.
I think we found a no-brainer.
And I could pay the monkey in plantains.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
604, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Like Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by Community Coffee. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W right at Garden Acres got an accident there. That one has traffic backed up back to I-20 in Arlington. Southbound 360 right at I-20 got an accident on the ramp to go westbound. It's blocking that right lane of the ramp. Traffic's backed up back to Arkansas Lane. And finally in Dallas, eastbound I-30 right at Carroll got an accident blocking the right lane there. That one has traffic backed up back to Fort Worth Avenue. Listen to Cindy Skull at 7:25 in the morning all this week for a shot torn a pair of tickets to go see Seether and Papa Roach at Southside Ballroom on January 31st. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Clear skies and 29 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny, windy, and a high of 36. Right now, 55. The 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Damn it. No, I had to. You weren't in here for during the Rodney spot. I have no idea how the commodities affect interest rates, mortgage. But obviously, oil prices being under $50 per barrel, that affects lending rates.
Well, I think it's because that means then people have more income to spend in other places since they're not spending it on gas. Which means that's why when gas is low, we love to buy trucks and SUVs.
Thinking it's going to stay low.
Right.
And Rodney tried to explain part of it. Well, you know, contractors can't really say, hey, we got to go up on our rates because, you know, transportation costs have gone up. No, they haven't. They've gone down exponentially.
Yeah.
But occasionally, in fact, it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jerry Reynolds, who does the Carb Show Pro guy on BAP, but it's also on, I think, KRLD. Anyway, had this old lady call.
I want to know why diesel prices have gone up.
Well, when did you buy it?
About 14 years ago, when diesel prices were low.
Well, they're not as low as they used to be.
Yeah, I know that. Now I can't afford to drive my diesel truck. I bought diesel so I could smoke around it, because diesel don't burn as fast.
And she actually bought a diesel truck because diesel prices were so low. You can't buy anything based on something that's going to run on commodities.
Yeah, because...
Well, I'll go out and buy an SUV now. Or one of those, whatever the biggest GM Suburban...
Yeah, Suburban. A Ford Excursion or...
Yeah, the longest thing I can buy and not have to have a commercial license. I'll buy one of those. Because obviously gas prices are going to stay at $1.88 or wherever they are now.
Yeah. I actually bought gas at $1.62 yesterday. Thank you, Tom Thumb Gas Discount.
See, I haven't even been back to Kroger. Gas is so cheap, I just stop wherever. Even gas stations on a freeway, tollway, whatever.
Yeah, the one across across from the building here on the other side of the tollway is usually like 10 cents higher than everywhere else because it's right off the highway. Yeah, I filled up there. They didn't care it was 10 cents more than anywhere else. It's still cheap as hell.
So I have no idea what it is with my Kroger points. Although I don't think they roll over from month to month, so I just lost a bunch.
Oh, man, that's got to sting.
But I really don't go anywhere, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, you still, it's like, oh, I almost want to drive a little more because then I feel like I can take advantage of the gas. Because honestly, the gas prices are getting now to the point where it's starting to sink down to the prices close to when I was in high school. Like back when I had to actually pay to fill up my own gas tank, and like yesterday, it cost me $21 to fill completely up.
You don't have to pay to fill up your own gas tank now?
No, I do. I'm saying that I had to pay for it myself back in high school. Most kids didn't have to.
Oh. No, I always did. Yeah, because you're pumping it out. It's like, anything under $2. You know what? My tank holds like 18 gallons. I think I'll pump another 4 or 5 out on the ground.
I'm going to do my part for local business.
I hate to screw the gas company around.
I don't feel bad about that. The oil companies have been making like $9, $10 billion a quarter the last few years.
But people think the oil companies are the only ones that suffer when gas prices are this low.
No, it's not.
It goes throughout the entire economy. There are parts that benefit. I saw a story on CNN. I don't really care, but guys that work on fracking rigs, they're cutting back because I guess whatever they're fracking for.
Natural gas.
There's not as much need for it because petroleum is so cheap.
Yeah.
And the steel industry, they're cutting back because they're making less pipe for those people.
Well, we just want it to be, we want petroleum prices to be at a fair rate. All right. Where were you when we were up to over $4 a gallon?
That's the thing.
You weren't going, I'm making too much money. That is not fair to the overall economy.
That's right. All of a sudden, when it's too low, then you have an issue with it.
I can't feed my family now. And it's funny, everybody on CNN and the story I looked at online that they had talked to had either dropped out of high school or they didn't have extended training. But a lot of them were making six figures. And I guess they thought it was just going to last forever.
Right.
You know, higher oil prices. Then it drops to 100, which I don't know that anybody thought we'd see again. And it drops under 50 per barrel.
Yeah, and there are some experts that think it may even go down to 40. Because, yeah.
But obviously, it's not going to stay there because nothing swings that drastically and stays in that position. It's like the whole pendulum thing. It never sticks on one side or the other. It always kind of just finds its natural balance back at the bottom.
It usually does, but there are experts that think that these low prices are actually going to stay for a while. Maybe finally that pendulum that had swung expensive for a couple of years, maybe it'll be cheap for a couple of years to kind of balance out. But it's the first time in 5 years oil prices have been this low. And then, of course, that means concerns are rising in the Texas oil industry as it braces for the inevitable job cuts. And as state lawmakers prepare to convene, there's talk of even tighter reins on state spending because of anticipated drops in taxes on oil and gas production and sales tax receipts. According to one oil person, in a sense, we're a victim of our own success. There's been a huge increase of domestic oil production within the last 3 years. Around the world, demand has not significantly increased, and global oil production remains the same. Experts say there's an excess between 1 and 2 million barrels of oil every day on the global market.
Well, really, big picture, I hate to be the bearer, but you knew we were going to start using less and less petroleum-based products.
That was the whole reason for different legislation at the state level and the federal level because, hey, we're far too dependent on oil or foreign oil, so we're going to make some more at home, and then we're also going to invest in other forms of fuel. All of a sudden, you have entire municipalities' vehicles running on gas or corn oil or something. Also, Wesson, for all I know.
Don't they have the capability to store? Aren't there reserves somewhere? Why don't they just add to the reserves for the future?
No, we sell that. We sell our reserves. Mm. Is that right?
I think so. It's Southwest Airlines that when prices are good, they will stockpile the hell out of some gas.
Set all the other stuff aside. I know how it affects different areas of the economy. But just to buy a car based on the fact of what gas prices are now or what they were 14 years ago.
All I know is when I bought my diesel, diesel prices were low. And now they got higher than normal gasoline, and then now it's about equal. And I can't afford to run my diesel truck. Where I can smoke standing outside. I can leave the engine running while I'm pumping gas because it ain't got no spark plugs.
And how Jerry didn't chew her ass, I don't know.
No. He's one of those nice guys on the radio.
Well, you've got to look at something long term. How much is gas normally? In my mind, I've just kind of set it at $5 a gallon. Anything I get less than that, I consider a deal.
I still can't. $5 a gallon, I wasn't able to bring myself to that level as
far
as...
We got dangerously close. Anytime you get close to four,
yeah.
I always just tack on a little extra, and that's how I base. Well, not really, but I should base how I buy my cars.
Mm-hmm.
But because I don't drive a lot, it's not like I'm a delivery driver or...
It's not like you're constantly going on road trips.
Yeah, it's like maybe 12 miles from here to home.
Probably.
That's about it. Where else do I go? So, if it gets crappy gas mileage, I don't really care. But I still calculate about $5 a gallon. Obviously, now I'm getting a deal.
It'd actually be really funny to see what you would get. Like, you should just rent a Prius for like a month just to see how much you actually would have to, how much you would spend in gas. I wouldn't be surprised if all you did is use the car for work and home. You probably fill up the tank twice in a year.
My car, the Challenger, right now is at, what does Bobby run?
He runs the maintenance department at Sewell.
Sewell. They got the Challenger. I don't think Sewell has a Dodge dealership.
Not that I know of, no.
But they can do maintenance.
Sure.
And they'll pick up my car and they'll drop off a rental that I think I should be paying for, but I don't know. So if anybody asks, I'm paying for it.
Yes, yes, you are. I've heard of it.
So I have all the maintenance work done there because I know Bobby's not going to screw me around.
Right.
And I'm driving a Lexus now.
Yes, very nice Lexus. And you don't like it. I cannot believe you don't like it.
He doesn't like it? What's wrong with it?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's awesome.
I'm asking Chloe, what's wrong with his Lexus?
There's nothing wrong with his Lexus.
He's got a free loaner Lexus and he doesn't like it?
No.
What's wrong with it, Russ?
It's too small. The cockpit's too small.
Is it a two-seater?
No. Four-door.
Four-door.
It just feels too tight. I'm more into American car wideness. Okay. Wasting space. Obviously, you Lexus. They like to, okay, your leg, left leg goes here, right leg goes here. Then all the rest of the car will come here. But when they delivered it about a week ago, because I sent the car off for maintenance for brake work, I went, check everything. It's about at 50,000 miles. Check everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had it for about a week, and I'm still running. It came with a quarter tank of gas. It's still got about a quarter tank of gas. I bet I could drive through June.
Probably.
With this car on a quarter tank of gas. I don't know what it's... I've been stomping on it, trying to get it out of eco mode, just to see if it burns gas.
I think that's a button you push. You can get out of that.
Yeah, if you got one of the Lexus hybrids, you probably never have to put gas in it.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Stopped at a red light. You can't hear the car. It's like one of the hybrids that shut off when you step on the brakes.
Yeah.
You don't hear the car.
Well, that's the whole idea of a luxury vehicle. It's supposed to be noise softening. You're not supposed to hear a whole lot of the outside. It's supposed to be inside serene and peaceful.
I want to hear rumble.
Yeah.
I want to feel like I'm sitting on a Harley with no helmet. But it's quiet. What kind of gas mileage? I don't know. I just know I've been driving it for over a week on a quarter tank and it hasn't moved.
And it's too quiet.
Too damn tight. Quiet. And I think if I hooked up my iPhone to its Bluetooth system, it would run some of my apps.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. Absolutely. That's the kind of convenience they put in these vehicles. You could plug in your phone or not even plug it in. Just connect it via Bluetooth, and it'll play all your favorite music.
I remember, yeah, Russ and I went to Tiger Direct over the break, and he's like, how do you get the – where's the radio stations? Where do you get it back?
Yeah, Russ he wants the old school. He wants to use his phone as a phone. He wants to use a radio in the car as a radio.
I couldn't figure out how to tune it. I went, all right, I got it on KRLD. What if I want to flip up to 1190? Like I said, I don't know. Oh, one of those buttons has got to be a manual tuner. I don't see it.
What happened when you asked the car how to do that?
I don't talk to cars.
I bet had you just said...
I don't talk to people. What makes you think I talked automotive?
Well, it's inanimate. I figured if you were trying to find how to change the station, you would have said, Lexus, how do I change a radio station? And then it probably would have done it for you.
I don't know. What do you want to listen to? You want some Merle?
I don't think the Lexus in-car...
I got the redneck Lexus.
...person is going to sound like that.
They let me actually choose a voice with the interactive feature.
That's right. You want to listen to Merle?
I want to listen to music.
Merle music?
Any type of music.
What about Merle?
Let Merle go. What else you got?
Merle?
A Merle tribute band?
It's got to be something else.
I don't like country music.
What about Haggard music?
Isn't that the same?
Trying to trick you?
No, Merle Haggard.
Okay, that's all we got. Thank you for calling. Lexus out. Lexus, 1010 on the side.
Oh, my God.
Somehow I don't think I'm going to get free rental cars anymore.
Quit calling them free.
I pay... I give them money.
I think it's free just on certain time. I think over a week, I think that's too long.
I didn't tell them to take more than a week. I just said it's ready for an oil change. I don't know what Dodge calls for as far as 50,000 miles because I'm at 49,000 right now. So I'm sure there's something you got to check on. Check these different things. So I'll make sure the car is sturdy, ready to go.
Yeah.
I got an email today, said the brakes are fine. Don't need to replace those. We think the gas cap is bad, so we need to keep the car another day.
That's
fine. I'm still driving your Lexus. It's
your technology
that wants to play Merle.
Welcome to Lexus. Would you like to hear Merle?
I'd like for the car to start.
Not until we play Merle.
How do I start the car?
Insert the fob and say Merle.
I'm not going to argue with the car.
I think you are. I think you have. And at this point, it doesn't really sound like there's an argument. It's not like the car is just pretty much just dictating everything.
Yeah.
Step on the brake pedal and say Merle.
And that'll start the car.
Not really.
Well, what will it do?
It will play Merle.
How do I get this car started?
I don't know.
Ask Merle.
Shut up, Merle's playing.
Do you have your Merle key fob?
I don't know what that is. I am so ashamed. Where I've gone from bits where I argue with my brain, now I'm arguing with Alexis on how to get it started, and I have to say Merle. It's a nice car. It's just not my style. The Lexus, whatever it is, I got.
Yeah. No, you're a muscle car guy. We know that. Even when you ventured outside of the muscle car realm, what is it you got? A muscle truck. Not a standard Texan truck with a lift kit and, you know, KC lights and a brush guard and, you know, no. Glass packs. No, you didn't go with that. You made sure you got a truck that was fast off the line.
Yeah. How many? Like 18 pistons?
It's an SRT 10. I think it was a 12 cylinder.
Oh, yeah. It was a Viper truck.
12 cylinder. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, 12 cylinder truck.
I'm your 12 cylinder truck.
He could have raced that bitch around TMS at one of the truck races that they do.
What Merle song do you want to hear?
Oh, no.
Be that not get a choice?
It will be a Merle song.
Why?
I'm a 12 cylinder truck. We will start with Big Wheels Rolling, and then we'll move into Mama Tried.
Stay here and drink.
I've had people send me different song suggestions. Mm. Here's what you should sing next time. I'm never going to get $3,500 again for singing a Merle Haggard song on a rock station. It's not going to happen. Anything else is going to be a pathetic sequel.
Don't sell yourself short. Never say never. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're partially correct. Maybe it won't be another Merle song. Maybe it'll be a song by somebody else. I don't know. Maybe you feel like in the mood to sing Anne Murray someday.
There will be no Snowbird.
I'm just saying.
Actually, Ben has got a song for you. He said next month. He wouldn't tell me what it is. He wants you to sing, and he would donate.
Another grand.
He didn't say an amount. He just said donate again.
Yeah, but every time he donates, it's usually at least 1,000, if not 1,500.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't like anybody to know. It's almost like he has to explain it to his wife every time he donates to the foundation.
It's like he's got to keep it under that amount. That way she's not automatically notified like the IRS. Anything above 10 grand, Mama finds out.
I think the whole thing over the holidays, that was just a trifecta. Too many things aligned. They were supposed to be on Best Of. All of a sudden, now they're live. Mm-hmm. They don't go back to Best Of. Someone keeps drinking and gets talked into singing Merle Haggard. I think there were too many things. It was the age of Aquarius.
Okay.
And every caller, ask Alfie, they were hammered. Hammered.
Is he going to sing Merle?
Yeah.
I sit in the car until he's singing Merle.
Yeah, the one of the first people. I give you $500. And I was thinking, there's no way this guy is going to.
And then all of a sudden, I start getting email alerts from PayPal. This person's donated $500. Ben Garrison was the first one in line with $1,000, even though he had no clue what the entire bit was.
I got $1,000. I'll give to the foundation. You do whatever it is they want you to do. I got to go. My goat's wet.
And at that point, for $1,000, I don't give a flying F.
Yeah,
I'm anything. Singing Merle.
Mm-hmm. I think if Merle had been here, you might have jerked him.
I'm going to sing this song while I masturbate Merle Haggard. I just said that as a soundbite.
That was good and clean, too. No one said a word.
Why are you going to do what?
While I masturbate Merle Haggard. You're damn quiet again.
Yep. Part of my job is knowing to shut up.
I'm the guest never in the history of radio. Has anybody ever uttered those words?
Mm-mm. Not even on a country station.
I masturbated Merle Haggard. I gave Merle Haggard a reach around.
I'm starting a list for 2015. That's one of them.
Of what?
Of things that...
Sound bites?
Yes.
I gave Merle Haggard a reach around?
Yes.
That's two.
It's gonna be full. At this rate, we're going to be able to put one together for Valentine's Day. A love song to Merle.
No, never mind.
All right.
We need a break?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Jesus.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:33, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by Empire on Fox. Let's
Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound I-30 right at Carroll Avenue. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Fort Worth Avenue. In Frisco, northbound on the tollway just before 121. Got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic there's jacked up into Plano back from Legacy. In Burleson, southbound 35W right at Allsbury Boulevard. Got an accident there. That one has you backed up back from Redden and Crowley. And finally, in Fort Worth, southbound 35W right near Alta Mesa. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from I-20. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Clear skies and 29 tonight. Sunny and windy tomorrow. A high of 36 right now. Where the hell did it go? It is 54. 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right. Where were we?
Do you really want to know?
I didn't really want to fess up to it.
It had to do with Merle.
I don't want to talk about Merle anymore.
Okay.
There was a bunch of honesty in there, the way that was said.
I'm just saying that. I asked if you wanted to know.
I am truly surprised either a rep of his record label, whoever he's on now, or Merle Haggard himself hasn't called him and said,
"All right, what do you want? You want me to play at the White Trash Party?"
Okay, dude, that would be cool.
That would be pretty awesome, actually. Completely unintentional, but.
No offense.
No offense taken. I'm Merle Haggard.
Will you sing Moving On?
I'd be proud to. A gift from God.
Can I play with your weenie while you sing it?
I love reach arounds. Waylon used to give them to me all the time. I shot in Conway's hair once.
Oh my God. That explains the lift.
He hated that. Especially if Loretta was in the room.
Oh, my God.
All right, what news story?
Okay.
We finish with.
All right. A Texas lawmaker has filed a bill seeking to make the cowboy hat the official hat of the Lone Star State. The Houston Chronicle reports that State Representative Marcia Farney, a Republican from Burnett, filed the bill on Monday. The proposed resolution cites the significance of the cowboy hat in Texas history as one reason for naming it the state's official hat. The bill also cites its prevalence in modern Texas culture. The resolution says, "The cowboy hat symbolizes both the state's iconic Western culture and the uniqueness of its residents, and it is indeed appropriate that this stylish and dignified apparel receive special legislative recognition."
We don't have an official hat now, right? We got a state bird, we got a state nut.
Tree, nut,
or
flower.
Is it, state tree is the pecan tree?
Yeah, so. Pecan tree, yeah.
State bird is the bluebird?
No.
The mockingbird?
That's it.
Yeah.
Flower?
Is the blue something?
Yeah.
Blue hat?
You're right there.
Blue face?
Not face. You were closer to hat.
Blue fedora? Blue Sean Rabb?
No.
Because I have. Blue bonnet.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so if they pass a bill? Or would it be a bill or a proclamation?
This would be an actual bill. This is not just one of those proclamation things.
So they want to pass it into law that the official hat in Texas.
Yes. It would go
a cowboy hat. So if I come into Texas from another state and I don't know, and I'm wearing a fedora like Sean Rabb is apt to wear, are the state guys going to jump me?
No. That doesn't mean the only hat you can wear is the cowboy hat. You can wear other hats. It just means that the official hat, the official recognized hat of the state of Texas, would be a cowboy hat.
And that benefits who?
Oh, nobody.
Unless this chick has got some money vested into Stetson.
Maybe. Some sort of Western store. She's probably got a political action committee completely funded by a boot store.
What would make that pop? I mean, I've had nights where, you know, I've had too much NyQuil and alcohol and things pop into my head and not everything. Well, I think, you know, the honey badger should be the governor of Texas.
Yeah, we've all had those.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens where it pops in your head? Cowboy's hat needs to be the official hat of Texas. And then what changes? What happens? Who does what differently?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. Because it's not like the cowboy hat is some sort of endangered entity. It's not like she had to make this proclamation and make it into law so it could be properly protected by the state.
There are too many people wearing them other types of hats, them fedoras, like Sean Rabb. Who's obviously anti-Texas, or he wouldn't wear a fedora. He looks more like a G-man, because that's what G-men wore.
Everyone back then wore the fedora. It wasn't just G-men.
Well, government men. That's where the term came from, G-men.
I know, but still, it's...
They wore them fedora-type hats.
So you're worried about the cowboy hat going into extinction?
I want hats. If you want to honor Texas, I want a hat made out of dead armadillos.
That way it's properly Texan.
Well, what else says Texas than a dead armadillo? It's a roadkill hat.
Yeah, it really is.
Or a hat made out of dead mockingbirds.
God.
Or chili con carne, which I believe is a state dish of Texas.
Mm-hmm. No beans.
Well.
Yeah. Other times, they've passed the other stuff. Obviously, they've done it with the flower and the bird and all that. So, this is just one of those things, because since the legislature is getting together this year,
and because this is the beginning. We've handled everything else in the state of Texas
right.
That we need.
Well, in addition to gun rights and abortion and gay marriage and all these other things.
Well, abortion is going to be more of a federal type thing, but.
Well, there's a state thing that Texas has to deal with. Same with the gun rights. They have to decide whether or not they're going to allow open carry. And then other really important issues. And then you have the representatives who will then throw in the extra stuff. Like cowboy hat is the official hat of the state of Texas, or our state senator friend from the Houston area.
Hang on. Nobody say it. Sinfronia Johnson. Is that right, Alfie?
I think it might be Sinfronia Thompson. I'm looking it up right now.
All right, Sinfronia, but I got that one.
I think you got the first name, yeah.
Okay. What about Sinfronia?
She was the one that we talked to a couple of years ago because she wanted to change the liquor laws in Texas. And we were all in support of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that woman.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to sell liquor on Sundays.
God bless you, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Wish you liked you, too.
I want them to be able to make hats out of anything they want except cotton.
I understand.
God bless you, baby.
So we're going to start seeing more of these bills and as the weeks go by.
Well, that's preaching to the choir. Hey, what can I do to ingratiate myself with the voters of Texas? I'll say let's make cowboy hat the official hat. Who's going to argue with that?
Probably a majority of the state of Texas that doesn't own or wear one. Saying, is that really necessary?
Do you not own one?
No, I don't.
Flo?
Oh, yeah.
Alfie?
Nope.
Okay. Then you're right. We're 50-50. I own one. Flo does. You guys don't.
And most country concerts now, I think Dan can back me up, there's not a whole lot of people that wear them. It's just usually trucker caps now, mostly.
Yeah, that's if they're wearing hats at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kenzie would be the tiebreaker here, but in her mind, she's probably thinking about wearing a real cowboy on her head.
Is that not a thing?
He said it was a hat. My hair always stinks when it gets off. And my hair looks funny. I got cowboy hole hair.
Okay, so even though you and Chloe both own cowboy hats, it's not like you wear them on a regular basis.
I wear them at the white trash party, and that's about it.
You use it as a costume prop. Chloe?
I just wear it at the lake, mostly.
Lake hats, yeah.
To cover up the sun.
So of the four of us, only one uses it for its intended purpose, to block the sun.
Chloe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never get that when you see guys driving in a pickup truck with their hat on. Man, how hard do you think the sun is beating down where you got to wear that hat inside the truck? Well, that's the way they do it on the television thing.
Yeah.
And it ties the whole outfit together, you know? It's
just something that seems retarded about wearing a hat inside a truck. No offense to you truck driving men.
I was going to say, it's like, I drive a hat in a truck. I drive, damn it. I wear
okay,
a hat.
Who's been drinking now?
I must be on a contact high. No, no, officer, it's not what I meant.
I'm wearing a truck as a hat.
That's right. So like, wait, no.
I'm driving a hat. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Baseball cap.
Yeah.
You don't really take off because you're in a truck. But a cowboy hat really is kind of...
In my car, if I'm trying
it's
to wear...
It's uncomfortable.
If I'm trying to wear a cowboy hat and drive, I'm going to hit my... The hat's going to hit the roof of the car. The back of it's going to hit the headrest.
Bounce off my gun rack.
Yeah, it's going to be just generally awkward.
I have to turn the mics off for this one.
Oh, boy.
Or bounce off the... behind the front seat.
I know it's early in the year, but I'm already very, very proud of you.
Not only did I shut the mics off, I covered up my mouth so they couldn't read my lips on the video stream.
And you put your head down.
Yeah, just in case. What was in the back seat?
I know what you said. I cannot prove it.
You're right. You can't.
Okay, so the last story we were working on was cowboy... Because I heard read a story earlier in the day about Oklahoma wanting to pass a law, and I thought, okay, they're freaking idiots. Then you hear about the Texas law about cowboy hats.
Yeah, I started with the Texas one on the cowboy hat. The Oklahoma one is what I have next. An Oklahoma state senator proposed a law that would make it illegal to wear a hooded sweatshirt. Wearing hoods while committing a crime has already been illegal in Oklahoma since the 20s. But Senator Don...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
As if to think that if you're committing a crime, you're somehow not going to tap into the extra crime or law breaking by wearing a hood.
Yeah, because hoods really came from organized crime. Hoods.
Oh, okay. I just assumed that the idea of the hood
didn't come immediately from hoodies of, oh, they from the hood.
Well, my assumption was the idea of the hood of an actual hooded jacket or sweatshirt was to block the cold.
It is.
Yeah.
How they're going to enforce that, if they want to change that to where you can't have like a sweatshirt
right.
with a hood on it, mm-hmm. you can't have that in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Wearing hoods while committing a crime has been illegal in Oklahoma since the 20s, but Senator Don Barrington wants to ban hooded sweatshirts altogether. He said they make it easier for criminals to hide their true identities.
They're criminals. They're not going to give a rat's ass if they've got a hood on. They could wear a baseball cap. They could wear a cowboy hat.
They could wear a full-on ski mask.
Are a ski mask against the law in Oklahoma?
Not that I'm aware of.
So how are you going to enforce that? What if somebody comes into Oklahoma from out of state wearing a hoodie? How are you going to enforce that? Well, I ain't from here. I didn't know. We wear hoodies all the time in El Paso. I mean, the whole concept is really, you can't wear a certain type of clothing. I mean, I get it. You can't wear something to disguise. They're going to have to go back and rephrase it and say something to conceal your identity. If you go into a bank, a federal office or whatever, just like you can't wear something to conceal your identity when you get a picture of your driver's license.
Okay, yeah, that aspect, fine, I get that. But an all-out ban is going to be too much because you can't tell someone, hey, you can't wear the ski mask even though you're skiing.
Well, we do not ski here in Oklahoma.
You might be doing some cross-country skiing.
From where? Colorado all the way to Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, they're right there next to each other. It's not completely impossible to think that someone might cross-country ski in Oklahoma.
I don't think the ski lifts go from Colorado to the Oklahoma.
No, they don't.
Okay. So, no ski mask in Oklahoma.
But it gets cold there. It snows. People might want to stay warm. And one way you stay warm is to cover up your face.
But we think people that wear ski masks and hoodies are up to no good. Just like people who wear tornado hats.
Tornado hats.
They wear those thinking they will fend off tornadoes. I will hang up and listen to your response.
Don't hold your breath.
You can't really ban a type of clothing. Can you think of, seriously, any other type of clothing that's been banned?
No, I've actually tried. I can't.
Yeah, nothing outside of like a normal dress code for someplace. No.
Unless the type of clothing includes some type of, like maybe a belt buckle that has a weapon as a latch.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. 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 Some, or like a sport coat that shoots knives. Maybe that should be illegal. Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, we have done that. We have banned sports coats that shoot knives or people with telephones in their shoes. Maxwell Smart is not. Or they call it silence.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:55, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Al McCoy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by Community Coffee. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Southbound 35W right near Alta Mesa. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up. Back from I-20. And Grapevine northbound 360, right at 121. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is backed up back from Glade Road. In Plano, eastbound on the Bush, right at Custer, got an accident blocking everything but the left lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from Independence. And in McKinney, southbound 75, right at El Dorado. Road construction there has that right lane shut down. That has traffic completely stopped back from Wilmoth Road. It's about a 45-minute delay through it. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. The phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer.
What was the face? I missed something?
You didn't feel the earthquake?
No. Like, just now?
Like, right as we were going into that commercial break.
Hello?
I'm used to it now because I live in Irving. It happened all the time.
I used to now because I stopped drinking. I have the tremors. Alfie?
Didn't feel it. Sorry.
No calls?
Haven't got calls for the initial one earlier today.
Yeah, well, there was an aftershock.
It's one like in the last 4 or 5 minutes?
Yes. I'm looking at Twitter and people already posted about it. Then I realized, oh, yeah, I felt the back of my chair, I was leaning on it. I felt it wiggle as we were going into the commercial break. And I looked up at our lights and the papers were shaking. The TriCaster monitor was wiggling a little bit, too.
Well, there's construction going on in this building.
That's what I assumed as well. And then I see everyone posting about another quake. My wife sends me a text when we live 5 minutes from here. And she says, did you just feel that?
Well, that's what it was.
That's what it was. Eagle weather brought to you by the Edgerton Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Clear tonight and 29 for the low. Tomorrow sunny and windy, a high of 36. Right now, 54 and shaky at 97.1 The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Any other reports that we just had an earthquake?
Yes.
I mean, from a news source.
I trust DFW Scanner.
All right.
Another widely, 5 minutes ago on Twitter, another widely felt earthquake across the North Texas area. Retweet or favorite if you felt it. J.R. Schumann, our buddy over at KSCS in DeWolf, he posted that he felt it. I trust him.
Channel 8 says they felt one in the newsroom.
Yep.
It's hard to tell in this building. We're only three stories up, but there's construction going on, so you don't know what it is. If they start using a jackhammer into concrete, because I don't know what they're doing in this freaking building right now, but they got to do it while we're on the air. So you don't know. But you guys say you felt it.
Sorry.
I didn't feel it. I'm drunk. I got my earthquake stabilizer built in.
You're in to ask some sober people.
Yeah, that's the problem. I felt it because you two are already drunk. I don't like this.
We got our earthquake gyroscopes built in.
I'm almost positive that I felt one like a week or so ago that woke me up in the middle of the night.
Nah, it woke me up because I'm wearing my Steadyquake. Everything looks shaky to you, but for me, it's still. It's when there are no earthquakes, I get sick. What do you got on hold, Alfie?
People calling about the earthquake.
Yes, Amber?
Hi, how are you, Russ?
Dandy.
Hey, listen, I work here in Carrollton. I'm working late tonight, and we have a lot of trucks that come by our back warehouse, and I literally saw the tiles shake up. I felt like a breeze, and I saw. And then after I saw that, I was like, "What?" Because I thought somebody came in my office, and I didn't realize that they were that I was there. And I saw stuff on my desk, on my peripheral vision shake. So yeah, I felt it here in Carrollton.
Can you start this whole phone call again and say, "Hey, it just happened this morning."
No, it just happened just a few minutes ago, as well as.
Bitch. Oh. Sorry, Dan. You're going to have to leave that in.
That's fine.
I'm just trying to think of the rebroadcast.
Ah, screw it. Jacob, our web guy, he felt it.
Is he still here?
I'm guessing he is. His wife just posted on Twitter saying that he felt it.
His wife works at KRLD.
Yeah, she said in her tweet, she said, "We at KRLD felt the 3 p.m. quake, but did not feel the most recent one. My husband and Addison felt this one."
Well, obviously, it couldn't have been too drastic. Excuse me. Or I would have felt it.
Well, and also keep in mind that I don't know how much it dissipates when you go higher off the ground. Like, had you been standing out in the parking lot, you might have felt it more than if you were sitting here where you are. Also keeping in mind, you're in a chair that costs $1,200, and you've also been drinking since 4.
Well, but you're sitting in the same chair. If I was standing in the parking lot and I started shaking for no reason, I'd think, am I masturbating?
Oh, the earth's moving. I must be touching myself.
Obviously, playing with my penis.
Do that or I got the DTs.
I just shot in my tough skins.
The United States Geological Survey confirmed one at 6:53. No magnitude yet.
And no epicenter?
I'm going to guess Irving.
Is that where all of them seem to...
There have been, I think I saw earlier today, the stat 17 since November 1st. So much so I saw a story earlier today that scientists from SMU are going to be studying it, which I don't know why they've waited this long.
Well, Chloe lives in Irving. You feel them all the time? Tremors?
I have felt three. One of them
one of the first ones is, yeah, it scared the hell out of me. I didn't know what was going on. Because, first of all, my cats started freaking out about...
All of a sudden you got cats and pennies are falling off their nipples.
Chloe didn't know what to think.
About a minute before it happened, I'm like, what is wrong with the cats? And then it hit.
Hit how hard?
It shook the piss out of the house for about 4 seconds. I mean, everything was just rattling. It was, yeah, it was actually scary.
The one that woke me up about a week ago, same thing. I was asleep. It was really early in the morning, so I just assumed that it was maybe something I dreamed or maybe a truck rolled by.
Well, if you're not used to it, you're just going to assume it was something associated with sleep.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like we already got enough problems here where we live. We have to deal with storms and freaking tornadoes. We shouldn't have to deal with it. I don't want the earth opening up and swallowing me. That should be a California problem.
Then maybe fracking's got something to do with it, even though I know there are fracking experts that say it's got nothing to do with this. It's just shooting water in, and when we're done shooting water in and getting the gas out, then we shoot, I think, sand back in to fill up the gap. So there's no reason for the plates to shift. All of a sudden, we're having earthquakes in Texas, and there's no explanation short of fracking, because that's really the only difference. We've been drilling oil wells for more than, I think, 3 or 4 years now. And that's never really affected the tectonic plates.
Yeah. And that's a common sense thing. It's extremely simple. Hey, do you remember earthquakes 10, 15 years ago? Nope. How about since all they've been doing this stuff? Yep.
There's so many people on both sides.
Well, the hardest part of the argument, if you want to win it, is, all right, you started fracking. How come all of a sudden earthquakes in a part of the country where we've never had earthquakes? Woo. Well, there is no woo. What's changed?
There was a couple in Irving when we were at the Eagle in Las Colinas.
That said what?
There were earthquakes.
There are fault lines throughout Texas. That is a fact that's indisputable.
There are fault lines through every continent.
Across the globe.
Every plate.
It's the difference.
Where they come together.
Yeah, the difference is it's just where some are more active than others, and then some are just kind of just hanging out, like the ones here. Occasionally, they might give a little wiggle. But the fact still remains, we're all feeling them now way more than we used to in the past.
So what's changed?
Exactly.
You can't blame it on global warming. Could. Probably not really valid. Everybody likes to point at fracking. And I don't know how deep they have to go with fracking.
I don't think they have to go that deep, but I don't.
Because when you're talking about shifting of plates, that's pretty deep.
It is. Okay, you're right. Define deep. I don't know. All I know is, yes, they're going underground to get stuff, and then the earth's shaking on top of it. The thing that I worry about is now, the way these things work, it always builds up to something. You get the little ones that get a little stronger, a little bit stronger. Then all of a sudden, the earth decides to tip you off the ground from 20 stories up. And then you say, no big deal.
Next thing I know, I'm sitting in my backyard in my pool and sharks are landing in my cabana. Not just sharks, black sharks. I don't even have to tell you what the name of that movie is called.
No, you don't. For more information on the Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for the Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com. And for all things Talk Radio 1190, go to 1190TalkRadio.com. Mickey Six is up next on The Eagle, and Rodney Anderson up next on 1190.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Later.
Russ Martin Show. Rocks the Metroplex.